Late Night with Howard Hughes on Talk Radio.
It's Friday, and we're all indoors. So back again. No, we'll be here for you at Talk Radio 0344 499 1000, doing our stuff for you in the way that we normally do it, just different, that's all, really. Thank you very much for all the responses from last night. I've had a shed load of messages and stuff, and I'm going to name check a few people, as many as Hayley will allow me to, which is probably not very many.
Three.
Nice to hear the Rembrandts, though, don't you think so, Hayley?
Oh, we loved it. Me and Amy jumped off our seats.
So why is it that Jennifer Aniston never answers any of my letters then, Hayley? That's the question.
See, she's just there too has to busy be a reason washing her for hair.
Right. Yes, absolutely. Hey, I wonder what the likes... I'm sure that the likes of that... You, very good talking point there. What are we going to do about our hair now? I'm sure Jennifer Aniston has got a personal, you know, coiffeur...
Live-in.
Person.
Hairdresser, probably.
Live-in hairdresser, absolutely. Probably sponsored by some big organisation that she may represent. What about the rest of us? Because, you know, my grandmother, who I quote on this program so many times, used to have a phrase about hair. She used to say, your hair's looking like rat's tails, she used to say. Your hair's like rat's tails. You'll see it in a week, and it will be like rat's tails. So I'm a little concerned about that, Hayley. But you're a girl. You must be more concerned.
I'm loving it. No, I love long hair, so I just want mine to grow. I'm all
for
it.
No, of course, you got that hair that can go down to your feet if you want it to.
Yeah, oh, I'd love it to. I want to be like, who's the lady in Adam's Family, the young one?
Morticia.
Is it Morticia?
You want to be Morticia?
Yeah, I'd love long hair like that. Or the young
She's a
one,
bit creepy.
Amy, who's the you young know what one in Adam's Family?
Okay.
Oh, she doesn't know
either. Not sure.
Have you seen them? My hair's going to reach a critical state, though. If it doesn't get regular attention, it goes very scraggy and fluffy. No, but it's neither here nor there, really. Should we kick it off then, Chuck?
Yes.
All right,
let's
then. Go. 0344 499 1000. You can text and tweet, but remember that the only way that I can see them is when Hayley cuts and pastes them and puts them onto WhatsApp. It's a bit basic, but it seems to work. And apologies, by the way, last night we lost the last 2 minutes of the show. My connection went down right at the end. It's the first time in all these shows I've been doing from home that that's happened. So my fingers are crossed for tonight. And Mr. BT, if you're listening, just keep it going till 1 o'clock, will you? All right, let's get to our first caller of the night. And you know that I'm having to be a little quiet here because, you know, my neighbour's little flat, all the rest of it. And I said to James, this complex of 200 flats is very, very quiet, quieter than Christmas. So I'm going to say quietly, quieter than I usually do, because I could normally bring the house down. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Alan Caddick.
Let's hear it for the boys at the quick bit. There's good old boys in blue.
They really do look after me. They'll do the same for you.
If you want to solve these menders, then pop along today.
No sooner you're out, you'll want to try too, and you put your way.
So next time you're in trouble, and your old car lets you down,
remember the words of this little song, you'll hear it all run tone. You can't get better than a quick bit at all.
Hello, brilliant, love it.
No, what's going on, Alan? No TV Times advert this time. What's this about?
What were you came for tonight?
Well, that's very good. Have you got that ad that Grant Mitchell did? The one before Grant Mitchell was famous. What's his name? Remind me what his name is.
Prison Private. Ross Kemp.
Ross Kemp. Before Ross Kemp was famous. Yeah, he did Fruit and Fibre, Kellogg's Fruit and Fibre. He's got this great big face and a bowl of cereal and a spoon in his hand. He's like, they're great. It's true. So that's your task for next, if there's ever a next time for me, because this is my last one in the present series. We want to do that one next time. But more importantly than all, are you ready for the virtual Grand National tomorrow then,
Anna? Yeah, I've been out in the field.
Mm-hmm. And who are the runners and riders then? Who's the favourite?
I'll give you the first four.
Yes, please. Who should we put our money on?
I haven't got a pen. Hang on. Oh, you write them down, Hayley.
Okay, I'll write them down.
You can send them to me on WhatsApp.
Yes.
Come on then, Alan.
Number one, Tiger Wong.
Okay.
He trained at 5-1.
Mm-hmm.
Second will be number 12, The Storyteller, at 40-1.
Right.
Third will
Good
be
odds.
Number 22, Vintage Cloud at 33-1.
Mm-hmm.
And fourth will be number six, Top Valve Men at 50-1.
Okay, I didn't get the last one because your sound went as you did that. What was the last one?
Top Valve Men. At 50-1.
Have you got any money on any of these?
I could be putting Bedtime Online tomorrow morning.
Mm-hmm.
After work. Because I could put it through my racing program, which you can get on iOS and Android.
You know all the details, don't you? You've got all the gin. Hey, listen. What's it going to look like? You know all about this. I've only heard a guy talking about it on the radio today. What's it going to look like?
Well, it's suddenly going to look like an entry race course itself, with all the fences and all the road course, because this has been done in the last 18 months, because I read an article about it in today's Daily Mail.
Did you? Okay. Well, I'll check that out later.
Daily Mail.
Oh, do you? That's all right, Alan. Well, you can't only read the Daily Mail, Alan. There are lots of good papers out there.
I normally read the Daily Mail, Howard.
No, you want to try the Sun, Times, Daily Telegraph.
Because I was going through the other papers at work, and I found this article about the Virtual National in the Daily Mail. I thought that might be an interesting read.
I think, I don't know what you think, because I know you're into your sport. I think that cricket would be perfect for virtual treatment. What do you think?
Well, there's been many computer games done in the past about it. I mean, I can remember an old cricket game on the old ZX Spectrum.
Yeah. Did you have one of those?
I had the ZX Spectrum Plus 2.
Did it have a cassette drive?
Yes, and we had the Grand National game for the ZX Spectrum.
See, this
I think
is
I had
this
a Spectrum.
Is, oh, did you have one
yeah,
of those,
Yeah, Hayley? I had a Spectrum and a BBC, I think.
A BBC Micro?
Yeah, yeah. And then I upgraded to, like, do you remember the first Sega Mega Drive? That was, like, the first, like, oh, this is proper.
I thought the Master System was first, and then it was the Mega
Drive. Ah, right, okay.
Then the Mega Drive.
And Alex
I had a calculator.
Kid. That was my first one.
Well, I had a Texas Instruments calculator.
Was it a Casio?
No, Texas Instruments. Ooh. I've still got it, actually. I wonder if it's worth...
Of course you do.
If you... I've got everything. It's all in the garage. If you're listening to this now, and if you know whether the first edition of the Texas Instruments calculator, the big bulky one with red LED digits, is worth anything, let me know, because I'll hang on to it. Or sell it to you if you want to buy it.
9-1-1000.
Yes.
Exactly.
Give us a call.
You know all this stuff. Now, Alan, have a good weekend. You know that you're not, even though the weather's going
to
be nice.
You. I'm going to play you another ad to leave you with.
Okay.
Who is he?
Cool.
Quick, two to life. Gee.
You can take home a free wallpaper sample to help you decide on the perfect match. You can use a free woodcutting service for all different sizes. And for practical help, take away free house you leave.
Good night, Alan, wherever you are. If you wonder where all them old ads went, Alan Caddick's got them. God, all those ones that I've forgotten. Now you see, you know what's going to happen? He's going to call in later because he'll have found that ad for the crunchy nut cornflakes or whatever it was. Don't you think so, Hayley?
Yeah, yeah, oh, I love that one. It's a crunchy nut. I'm a crunchy nut.
Can I just... Before we get to more of our calls here on 03444991000, you don't think I see these messages during the show, but I've just been onto my unexplained Facebook page, got loads of them. I'll do some shout-outs. But Derek, I got your message that you just sent about your beard and the photograph. It's very good. You make me look like a scraggly old cat. You look perfectly groomed, because I know you were worried about it. So I'll just that's my view. I might well send the picture on WhatsApp to Hayley, since we've got that facility available. And Hayley can
what,
also
give
her...
What, you think you can send me a picture? I challenge you to send me a picture.
The trouble is, my hands are full of so many things. I've got that little player that plays my music on one hand here. So I've got all my... I've got that in one hand. Stop. Thank you. Hit stop. And I've got my phone on my knee. And I've got a cup of coffee over there. I've got a clipboard and paper and stuff that I can't read here. I mean, what more can I do, Hayley? And listen, I'm not prepared at all tonight. I have come on the radio, just like you recommended. Totally unprepared, and for one very good reason. My main computer, which is a very cheap one that I've had about 5 years, has decided to keep freezing, so I couldn't look at any of the news websites or anything. So I will be the last person. I know we're meant to be a news radio station, but I would be, if something big happened, the last person to know about it would be me. Unless, of course, Hayley puts it on WhatsApp for me. Should we get to Angela, then, in Leicester? Angela, what's going on with you?
Hi, you guys.
Hello.
I don't know how to put it, but I was wondering if I can send it to your private email. Do you know when you do your things, but I don't know how to put it?
What is it you want to send? So we're friends. So it's only you and me.
I know, you know, the whole world is, like, out there, like...
Sorry, there's nobody listening.
No one's listening, don't worry, it's a Friday night.
They're not all out.
They're not all out in the pub, no.
They're probably playing Shove Apeny or Scrabble. So what is it you want to send then, Angela?
No, I can't do it.
God, I'm worried.
Angela, I think you follow me on Twitter. You can send me a direct message if you want.
Yes.
And then I mean, I can't say it's anonymous because you've told us you're sending it now. So if I read it out, then it's, people are going to connect the dots. Aren't they?
I don't know how to put it.
Angela, you're rapidly becoming an international woman of mystery.
I've talked to it with my friends on Zoom, and they said, why don't you talk to one of your favourite presenters? And I said, no, I don't think I've got enough to cope with. Like... if you know what I mean.
Well, we've all got a lot to cope with.
I'm scared to think
we're all friends.
I'm scared to go to bed.
Why is that?
I am.
Oh. Now, what is it? Is it too quiet there?
You could
What's
take
going
us
on?
To bed with you. Have you got a radio in the bedroom?
I love it quiet. Don't you worry about that. I did see an airplane tonight.
Well, that's probably going to East Midlands Airport.
Probably, yeah.
So listen, no, seriously. What's changed then? What is making you afraid to go to bed?
Well, it's been happening for the last few weeks, and it's just beginning to not get to me, but I'm concerned.
Well, you just got to think, are you frightened about the way things are at the moment and all of the stuff on the news?
Oh, no, I couldn't be there. No, I'm hard as nails on that. But it's just something else.
Well, you're welcome to direct message me anytime, Angela, seriously. And I won't read it out on air if you just want it, you know, privately.
I can inbox it to you, can't I?
Yeah, you can, if you just want to get something off your chest.
And seriously, you know, I've got that website, theunexplained.tv. There's an email link there, and I always see the emails. So you can always, you know, what am I doing at the moment? You know, after this show, I'll be checking my emails. How about that?
I'm just so scared.
Oh, well, look, we're going to reach a virtual hand through the speaker of your radio and just, you know, give you a hug. That's what we're going to do, aren't we? Both of us, Hayley.
All of us, yeah.
I want to tell virtual. Things.
So you get a virtual hug. There's Amy, who's doing the controls tonight. There's me in my little bunker. And there's Hayley. And we're all thinking of you. So that's three people. That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Do you know what you've got to do? I did news for years, and I don't think I've ever said this to anybody. Number one, stop watching the news for a bit.
I have, don't you worry. I have to turn the radio off from all day. I tend to watch. I've got a lot to do because I was speaking to my friends on Zoom and we'd have parties and that.
Is it because you can't go and see your friends? Is that it? Is that what it is?
No, because they know about this anyway, and I've told them. I've got a lot of friends in Australia that are coming on soon anyway. But, I'm just so scared, Howard, and this is not like me.
Okay, well, look, we are thinking of you, and if you want to message us, then I'm sure we can sort something out one way or another, you know?
I wanted to tell James and us, but I don't think take it.
All right. Well, listen, you know how to email me, you know how to message Hayley, so please do that. And, you know, keep listening. All right. And we promise not to scare you. I'm going to do my best.
You can't see Howard's beard, so we won't scare you. How about that? Is that a deal?
You can't hear it. Do you want to hear it?
Oh, that's scary.
Here I am tonight. It's like a loo brush now. It's not,
come on. That's really not nice.
It is. I was hoping. I tell you, I've never had a beard, and I was hoping for something better. And what I've got is a sort of human toilet brush going on my chair. I think it might have to go. But I might have to put it out to the public vote. We might have to have a referendum. Can I say that word?
Let's have a referendum about your beard.
A beard-a-rendum. We'll have a referendum on my beard.
You can have the first vote. Do you think he should keep it or dump the beard?
Dump the beard.
Dump it. Right, vote in.
Are you keeping tally?
Yeah.
Right. All right. Angela, take care and message us if you want to. Okay, don't think you can't because you can.
All right, mate.
All right, night-night. Angela in Leicester. I'm concerned. I think she'd be all right, but, you know, we're here, even though we're 16 miles away. Isn't that true? We are a united front divided by 16 miles. 0344-499-1000. Staying in is the new going out. I'm still weirded out by the experience of just before going on air here, going for a little walk into the car park and having a little walk around here. And it's just so quiet. I would have thought they'd have all been watching their box sets and with the volume whacked up. I mean, please don't get me wrong. I like the piece. It's great. And the air, when you breathe the air in, it's like you get a headache because it's cleaning out your sinuses. And then I looked up at the moon and you can see the moon properly. These are the upsides of our current downsides, I would say. Hales. But that's about it, really. Okay, 0344-499-1000. We are Talk Radio. This lady here is Hayley. Say hello, Hayley.
Hello.
I just thought I'd try a new technique.
Oh, right.
Slick, eh?
Okay.
And say hello, Howard. Hello. And if Amy's there, Amy didn't speak last night. Amy,
hello.
Say hello. There you are. See, it's all right, Amy. People like you. This is Talk Radio.
Late Night with Howard Hughes on Talk Radio.
Thought this one would definitely work. What do you say, Hayley? Just fits the mood perfectly.
8 months too early, but okay.
No, we've got to have something to look forward to.
Oh, I see.
We'll just sit here counting our toes. Okay. Chris Rea.
I'm driving home for Christmas.
Well, the police are going to be stopping you, Chuck.
Oh, I can't wait to see those faces.
No, you can't.
I'm driving home for Christmas.
I'd be turning back if I were you.
Well, I'm moving down that line.
Oh, that's what you say. 0344-499-1000. We are Talk Radio. What else could we be, really, Hayley? I don't know, really. Mother's Union? No. I've got a screenshot. You're very good at doing these screenshots. Are you just taking photographs
on my phone?
Off the screen?
Yeah, it's clever, isn't it? Your phone has a camera on it. You should try it
one
day.
And whacking them across. Okay.
Yeah, you can read it.
I mean, look, you know about this IT stuff. This is Bob from Croydon, who says...
Croydon spelt wrong, tell you.
Oh, Croydon.
That's quite interesting.
Well, I can't focus on it now.
Yeah.
Come across... A good old Cockney East End girl, but in reality, I think she's a bit of a posh socialite.
Thanks, Bob.
That's only half a story, Bob. What can we do with that?
Well, he thinks I'm a posh socialite, apparently. Yay!
Oh, you?
Yes, me. I think I'm the only Hayley in the room.
I don't know. Were you named after anybody?
Probably Hayley Mills, I think, because I was born in 82, and I think she was quite big at that time, wasn't she?
Was she? I thought she was big in 1963.
Oh.
But then, some of us were coming into this world, whatever. Can I just say hello to a few people who've been in touch over this last 24 hours, or would you rather I didn't? I know you're pretty... See, the way this works, if you're only hearing this for the first time, is that even though we're separated by 16 miles, Hayley's the producer, so technically she's in charge, and I'm like... It's like the organ grinder and the monkey. Okay, so Hayley's the organ grinder, and I'm the general factotum. That was a phrase my father used to use all the time. Just means anything. Derek, yeah, like the beard. Vicky, Lee, Steve, Amanda, Ashley, Omar, Darren, Clint, Jason, Daz, Kev, Wayne, Paula, and Colin. And that's only some of you. Thank you. And I'll try and look at some of those messages on the Facebook page. Much better to phone up, though. I mean, this is your one chance to do it, because I will be like... What are they called? Who was that who used to just sweep into town and then sweep in? Was it Clint Eastwood in one of those spaghetti westerns?
Oh.
You know, where they where the sound was not perfectly synced with the pictures.
Yeah, yeah.
And there'd be a crisis in some little hick town in the West. And, of course, they were all filmed in Italy. And some of the actors' English was not perfect. And then sweeping into town to sort them all out with, I don't know, with a piece of corn in his... What did he have between his teeth?
Probably a cigar, was it?
Was it a cigar?
Yeah, it
was
a cigar. Must have been a cigar in those days.
It was a cigarillo. Do you remember cigarillos? Mm. It was a cigarillo in his chops. And then the music would go...
Wow, wow, wow.
Exactly.
Wow. Oh, this must be the best radio you've ever made, Howard, isn't it?
So, well, it's some of it. you want to hear the other things I've done over there? No, you actually don't. My neighbour's now probably thinking, you know, Howard at the top of the block, he's on his own there. I think there's something wrong because I now hear him singing and there's only him there.
Why don't you just put a little leaflet through the door saying, I'm on Talk Radio at 10, tune in, we'll give you a shout out.
No,
as you're having to put him up with it, you know.
No, I was hoping to draw a gentle veil over it, really. But perhaps not succeeding. Now, our number here, 0344-499-1000. If there was ever a time for not tweeting, but for phoning, this has to be that time, I would say. Just checking my WhatsApp here. Right. You notice how surreptitiously I do that? You would never know, would you?
Never know unless you
that it was all,
it. No.
All contrived. Okay, let's get to Alistair. Alistair, what's going on with you tonight? How are you?
Good evening, Howard. Good evening, Amy and Hayley.
Good evening.
Now, tell you what I did today, Howard. I listened back to my singing. Right.
Oh, yes, last
which
night.
We thought was pretty good last night.
We gave you 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I'm not happy.
Oh.
I'm afraid.
Do you want to try again?
No.
that could have just been a rehearsal, you know, warming up, you know.
No, I'm going to work on, you know, eventually, when things back to normal, I'm going to apply to Britain's Got Talent.
Yes.
So I need to work hard and practice.
Well, you've got to rehearse. You've got to rehearse and practice.
I know.
It's the only way to do it.
I know. So, it was all right.
So,
of course, the things are...
Which aspects of your performance, then, Alistair, which, sorry to cut across you there, it's all part of this remote working, which aspects of your performance do you think need to be, shall we say, honed a little?
I think I need to be more projected. I need to project the song more. It needs to be louder, and it also doesn't need to be done over the phone.
And have you got the right kind of song? You know, what's your... I think the phone does limit it slightly. Although, I can remember from years and years ago, there were some people on some radio station somewhere who used to go on in the middle of the night with an organ, an electric organ. Ray and Jan, I think, were their names, and they would do requests for you. And I think they lived in a council house or something, and I'm thinking, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and people are saying, will you do Moon River for me? It's off with the... And it was all on the phone. You know, there was no Skype in them days. In those days. Sorry, just common. In those days. No, what you want to do is record yourself. When you start doing this radio game, you have to start recording yourself. And I started doing it when I was about 13. And I was absolutely horrified for the first year or so. And then I learned to just about tolerate it. And that's where I'm still, all these years later, that's where I'm at now. But you've got to record yourself.
Yeah.
Play it back. And try to listen critically.
Are you a singer then as well, Howard? Yourself?
No. No. I can do a bit of karaoke if you want, you know. But sadly, Hayley won't let me. Will you?
No.
Oh, I might, if you ask really nicely.
I'm not sure whether I could get away with it, though, in my current location. I suppose if I go nice and close to the microphone like this, we can do that.
Okay.
I'm available for voiceovers.
Anyway,
hang on, this has all been leading up to the performance, though, Alistair. You're trying to get out of it.
No,
are you going to sing?
Well, I will. I might. But first, I wanted to try and offer you some personal assistance, Howard, if I could.
What, a bit of guidance? I need it.
You know you said about your computer's frozen?
Yes.
Right? Now, do you keep it regularly maintained in terms of cleaning the hard disk and cleaning files you don't need and all that business?
Well, I did, because it's Windows 10, and I upgraded this computer myself. I was very proud of myself. I took all the files off it, and then I upgraded it from Windows 7 to Windows 10, which they used to say that you can't, the free offer had ended, but it was still on when I did it a couple of months ago. And I copied all the files back, and then it was running like, you know, it was running like an Olympic athlete.
Yeah.
But it's just started freezing up for no reason in the last 2 days.
I don't know
what it is. So if any of my technical listeners have any idea before I disappear forever, you know, I'd be very keen to know.
Okay, well, what I'll do is, I think it's probably the registry that needs amending, and I use a program called Tweak, which...
Hang on, I'm writing that down, Tweak. Well, I can't do it now, sadly.
I'll email all this to your the website published on The Unexplained, is it?
Yeah. No, I'm, yeah, there will be other people. Hayley's going, what's he doing? He's talking about his computer. there will be thousands of people right now, Hayley, you know, who will be thanking me for this information.
Yeah, so I'll email that to you, and hopefully you could try. It may be something else, but anyway. So, back to the series.
Back to the singing.
Hayley. Yes. So, I just actually... less flippant tonight. I just wanted to say I watched a bit of the, you know, the Daily Conference, and I'm starting to get that something in me, the penny dropped a little bit more. I'm starting to get a little bit more scared, really, about all this and about the state of the world and everything. And I just had to take a couple of breaths because it's, you know, I mean, I'm...
Listen, I only had half an ear on it tonight. I have to say, only I had it on the radio in the background. I was doing other stuff. And I was taking, you know, I've learned to take things in when I'm not absolutely concentrating on them. But the message at the end of it, though, was that they think that, you know, we are where we're supposed to be at this stage of it. You know, none of that is good, is particularly good news. But it does mean that we are getting somewhere. And of course, there was also the talk about medical developments, wasn't there? Because they're doing the tests on that drug called chloroquine, and there's another AIDS drug, I think, I remember from the news conference. So there are all those positive strands that are playing into it, don't you think?
Yes and no. I think that what I'm concerned about is more of the present rather than stuff that may be available in the future, which is still good, I agree. I think basically I've been doing a bit too much of watching the news. I saw...
Well, and you know, that is the thing. Now, I think it's very important. Hayley, do you agree with me?
Yes.
It's very important to keep in touch with what is going on. And that's been my livelihood for years. But I think there comes a point, and I have to say that my head was buzzing with it a couple of days ago, and I just thought, that's it. Turning it off. Not going to watch it anymore tonight. And I stuck an old movie on. From an era when this was just science fiction. And it did me, it was like a spring clean for my head. You've got to do that, Alistair. When it gets too much, I think even the government and all the important officials and people like that would expect you to do that. I bet even there are times when even they do. Because they have to, because they've got so much going on at the moment. It's just my thought.
I agree, and I've been watching lots of television as well. And I just kind of caught myself, thought, oh, it's just gone five. I'll just have a quick look at the thing, and then I'd seen last night a report from America that everybody's getting loaded up with guns again, and I could see like a movie in my head of, like, you know, it getting much worse in America and everybody shooting each other for food.
But hang on, you don't know any of that's going to happen. The American experience is different because they're allowed to bear arms. It's part of the Constitution. There is a right to bear arms for your protection. And some people who feel when there's a threat that you've got to fill up the larder and you've got to check your weapons. That's a different kind of thing. I've got listeners in America. If you're listening now, Robin, if you're listening in America, your two cents on this would be welcome. But I think that's the case. But that's America. And I think for what my view is worth, and it's probably worth zero, and it's worth whatever anybody else is worth at the moment, probably less, that we just can't let speculation. We can't let speculation grab hold of us. Look, I had a boss once. His name was David. And David was my first boss, and he was actually very good to me. I used to worry about everything. And he used to say, God, I was 21, and he said, you're going to have a heart attack by the time you're 40, you are. You don't just deal with the problems when they come along. You look down the track for them. I think at the moment, all of us, and I've got to take my own advice here, and I'm not very good at taking my own advice, all of us have got to just be in today. Today's all there is. Tomorrow's something else. I think that's the way we've got to play it. And we've just got to trust, which I do, in medical science and the fact that there are teams from New Zealand to Israel to right across the United States to all of the labs in Germany and England. They are working day and I heard somebody on the radio just before I came on here who said that her friend was working in one of the labs developing some kind of test or treatment or something for this. And she's been working. She had been working from 4 o'clock in the morning. And that call that I heard, I think, was 8 p.m. So she'd been working, you work out the number of hours, that is. Yeah. So I am in the midst of all this sadness and horribleness. I'm optimistic and I'm hopeful. And if we all do that together, collectively, then I think we're going to get somewhere. So what I'm basically saying to you is take life in bite-sized chunks, because it's all you can do. That's my thought. Hayley? Yeah.
Very true. Very good. I've no more to say. I worry it's when getting very deep.
No, I worry when you're quiet. When you go quiet,
I know.
There's
most
always
people
an issue.
Do worry when I go quiet.
Mm-hmm. Does your husband worry when you go quiet?
Yeah, well, everyone does, to be fair, because I'm going to be so loud and don't shut up.
Is it the calm before the storm?
Maybe.
Yeah, I've never seen.
I'm sorry about this. I've just got to pursue this particular nugget. Sure. I've actually never seen you lose it.
I'm quite chilled, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's nice.
You haven't annoyed me enough, that means.
Keep trying. The one thing I can't bear, and the only thing that will set me off, is bad manners.
If people are rude to me,
I will go hyper ballistic, and you will suddenly hear my Liverpool accent come out without me even thinking. And I'll say, what? So I was just interested, because I've only ever seen you when you've been absolutely
in control. Yeah, I'm quite chilled.
Okay. Sorry, Alistair, we left you out here.
Well, I just, can I just add about...
Have you sung yet?
Yeah, no. Can't sing before you...
Can I just add about Hayley, though, Howard, your comment. Only Hayley knows the truth about that.
Oh, about what?
Oh, God.
About whether or not you've got the ability to explode.
Well, that's true. We all know our own limits, right?
I mean, she's called me a few names, but, you know, it's water off a duck's back. I've heard it all before. So, Alistair, what about the singing, then? We haven't heard any songs yet.
I've not.
Unless I missed it. Then.
Have you got something that... I think you've got great music taste, so you might have something there that I could sing with, or...
A bit of Ness and Dormer, maybe?
No.
You know, a bit of Pavarotti?
No.
I'll let him in the back of my cab. Sorry, Pavarotti. He's great. He was. Are you a Tom Jones man? How about Born Free? My father's a doctor.
The pinnacle I want to get to is record my own cover version of Brothers in Arms by Dire Straits.
Dire Straits?
Yes.
I interviewed... What's the Knopfler brothers? I interviewed one of them.
Mark and David, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I interviewed one of them and asked him how he was getting on with the other one. This was during their disagreement period, I think.
Yes.
I should have stuck to the music, really. But you could do that. That's a bit of... If you pick Brothers in Arms as your benchmark to start, that's going to be hard to do, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, but no, I mean, that's the pinnacle. I mean, I'm going to work up to that one. I've got to go through, lots of other pop songs, It's a Beanie, something... Da-di-da.
I tell you, I'm going to set you a challenge then. Who knows whether I will ever appear on here doing this again. I have not the foggiest idea. But the next time, why don't you come on and do a version of Freddie Mercury's I Want to Break Free? And if you want to do the full video as well, wearing the dress and pushing the vacuum cleaner, you can do that too.
But I'll definitely accept the singing challenge, Howard. You are.
And if you can do the vocal workup that Freddie Mercury did when he did that on stage at Live Aid, then you'll be a star.
Hello, break free.
He's done it. He's done it. Hayley, he's done it.
Next time, get the lyrics for us.
this song in D.
And there we leave Alistair.
Anyway, sorry about that.
Yes.
Alistair, we have to say goodnight now. As this, because you're a work in progress at the moment, Alistair. Yeah, I want to hear you when you progressed. Thank you.
No, but thanks for taking the call. And like I said,
no, nice to speak with you.
Stay safe. And thank you, Howard. Yeah.
And please turn the news off for a bit. You can always put it on tomorrow morning, tomorrow midday. You know, the world will still be there. Okay, take care. Good night. Hayley, is my advice sage?
Yes, very much so. Always.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what Alan's got for us again. I don't know why he's back, but he is.
Okay. Mr. Caddick, what is on your agenda at the moment? What are you going to give us?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alan. We'll talk again one of these fine days, I'm sure. Who knows where, who knows when. Alan Caddick there. Talking of banana, I've got, actually, you hear that? I don't eat bananas. But on my one trip to the supermarket in the last 10 days, I bought some bananas, and I've got one here. And it's a sort of demi-sized banana. But I promise not to eat it when I'm on the air, because they say you shouldn't eat food when you're on the air, Hayley.
Yeah,
what do you
no
say?
No one would know. Because I can't
think
see
so.
You. No.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Have a nibble in the break. How about that?
All right, then. I could be sitting here in a pair of Speedos, couldn't I? Please don't have that thought.
Oh, please,
it's too
no.
bad.
No.
Right, our
Move
number
on.
Here is 0344 499 1000. It's Hayley Hayes and Howard Hughes. That makes four H's. It's Friday night, and we're staying in on Talk Radio.
Late night with Howard Hughes on Talk Radio.
It is ABBA. Have you heard that before, Hales?
Oh, yeah, of course.
No, I mean, have you
it's
heard
ABBA,
the German version?
Oh.
I know it's ABBA.
No.
Did you not
I
notice it was German?
No, I didn't. It's because I don't know the words anyway. Why have we gone German?
No, I was just... You know,
just because...
No, like, I found in my collection some foreign records, including ABBA in German and Swedish and in French. I mean, if you want to hear... Hang on, if I got Waterloo in French? We don't have to play it all. But just to prove that we've got it... Hang on, let's see if I can make that happen on here. No, we don't want Desiree. We don't want that. Come on now, respond, you fool.
Did you get...
No, that we've just had that one. Mm. The trouble with this thing is it responds like a second and a half in delay, so you hit the button. There you are.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go. ABBA, as you've never heard them before, unless you live in France. All together now. Big finish. If you're very good, I'll treat you to some more of that later. You can't wait, can you? No, I found those records. And this was from an era that you won't remember. But a lot of artists, like the Beatles did it. To get hits in Europe, they used to do it in the relevant language. So the Beatles, when they went to Hamburg and played there, when they played the Kaiser Keller in Hamburg. They did a version of She Loves You. Sie liebt dich.
Oui, oui, oui.
You heard that? No, that's German. That's French, that.
Oh, yeah.
Do you speak languages?
No, obviously not.
Clearly not.
Can you tell?
Yeah. Do you want the brutal truth or not?
Oh, goodness.
Our number here is 0344 499 1000, and it would be, well, it'd be better than nice to hear from you tonight, really. So if you're one of my unexplained listeners, or if you just happen to be, you know, I can't say tuning up and down the dial because people don't do that anymore. But you know, whatever you might be doing, then it would be very, 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 very nice to hear from you. Don't you think so?
Yes. I never know if you're talking to me or the person, the listener.
No, no, you should know by the tone of my voice.
Oh, right, okay. Because I can't see you. It's difficult. I'm still, we're still getting around this remote working.
But don't think stuff. I'm turning the camera on.
Yeah, we should do that.
We're not going to go down that particular avenue tonight. Okay, let's get to Nigel. Yep. Nigel, are you there?
Oh, hi, Howard and Hayley.
Hiya, hello. Nigel.
How are things with Nigel?
I don't know, Hayley. Are you an entertainer on the TV or anything?
No, I just sit normally behind the glass here.
Oh, I didn't
know. Never been on the TV.
No, but you see, you've got the wrong question there, Nigel. The question is, would you like to be an entertainer on the TV? I think that's the more important one.
No.
I spoke to Amy just now, who took the phone call.
Mm.
Are you friends with Amy?
Yes, we're very good friends.
Are you,
besties.
She said you were in the studio.
No, I don't like it.
Are you at home in the studio?
No, me and Amy are here, so we're in the studio in the office in London. And Howard's at home.
At home.
Eating a banana.
Eating a banana, apparently.
At home.
Sources say.
So you're at home, are you, Howard?
Sorry, what was that?
You're at home. You're at home then.
I'm at home with a banana.
So, if
you pardon the expression.
Have you got any cream? You could have a banana boat.
Of course, I haven't got. I've only got the basics. Excuse me.
I've got a song that I've done recently. It's on YouTube and it's a good recording. Singing a Charlotte Church, a dreamer, Charlotte Church. Well, not an opera song. Charlotte Church used to sing it, called Dream a Dream.
Is that the one that Susan Boyle sang?
No.
It's quite a good recording that I did in the bedroom and put onto YouTube. And it's on Twitter, Nigel Reader 3, Twitter. And it's the one with me singing into the microphone at the top of the page.
Mm. I think better than talking about it,
yes.
And I know Hayley would agree with me, were we able to see each other, you should be singing it.
Pardon?
You should be singing it, not talking about it.
Oh yes, yeah. It's on. It's for you on to find to put onto YouTube. Fix up to YouTube. I was going to say I saw Carry On Sergeant earlier. It was really very good film, isn't it? The old black and white one.
Bob Monkhouse was in that, wasn't he?
Yeah, Bob Monkhouse. All the old Carry On actors were in it, but it was one of the funniest, I reckon. The first
one. I'm just waiting for Hayley to say who's Bob Monkhouse.
No, I know who Bob Monkhouse is.
It's a really good film.
And of course,
Kenneth Williams was brilliant as usual. So
what was Kenneth Williams in that then? In Carry On Sergeant,
he was trying to be a soldier, and he had a hat that was too big and. Anyway, I can't go into it, but it was funnier than one of his most funniest films, I reckon.
Was Charles Hawtrey in it?
Charles Hawtrey was in it as well. Yes, I met Charles Hawtrey when I was about 16 when I did a gig somewhere
Charles Hawtrey lived near Deal in Kent. I can remember going on holiday with my mum and dad years ago.
Margate, actually.
Yeah, no, he was always around there.
Oh, I love Margaret.
A very quiet man,
apparently. I did a gig in Birchington, the old cinema I did a gig in, but it was turned into a nightclub called Traders Pink. You may have been there before, Traders Pink.
No? I'm well known to most of the nightclubs in the UK, as Hayley knows. Listen, none of this involves you singing.
No, can you switch to that song, that recording on Nigel Reader 3, singing into a microphone?
I've got a copy of it here. We've got a directive. Our boss, Denny, has sent us all an email, and I printed it out, that if there's going to be singing on, people have to do it live. They cannot do it recorded.
You want me to do it live?
Absolutely.
Then?
Okay. No, it's not me. It's the boss. That is from the boss.
Yes, okay. I only get to do that half of it because of the neighbours. because I don't want to wake the neighbours up, you know, because they go to bed quite early.
Oh, I know that feeling.
So,
okay.
I'll do this to dream a dream then.
Well, just give us a verse then.
When the
give
night
us a
is still and the sea is calm, lonely shadows, you'll fall upon me and lay by my side. Fear not tonight, lonely shadows, rise from the darkness. Dream a dream and see through angels' eyes a place where we can fly away. I've forgotten some of the words.
Oh.
I'll find them.
Make them up. We wouldn't know. We don't know.
Yeah.
But no, ladies, you've got a gift of sounding musical on the phone. Most people can't do that, Nigel.
Yeah, but I've forgotten the middle part because I usually follow the music, the actual orchestra, really, and all the music. Shall I do something easier?
Yeah, make it easy. It's a Friday.
Do you like when I fall in love? That's a nice band.
Oh.
To get people cuddling this time of night.
We like a cuddle. Yeah.
Can I do that one?
Of course you can.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Hayley. Okay. When I fall in love, it will be forever, or I'll never fall in love in a restless world like this is. Love has ended before it's begun, and too many moonlight kisses seem to call in the warmth of the sun. When I give my heart, it will be completely, or I'll never give my heart. And the moment I can, you feel that way too, is when I fall in love with you. Thank you.
I think that was pretty damn good.
Brilliant.
Your pitch is perfect, and you know you come across really well on the phone.
I don't practice enough, Howard.
I'm going to diagnose you now. I'm psycho, whatever it is now. You don't believe in yourself. You should.
It's all right, is it? Okay.
Yeah, of course, it's more than all right. Yeah. It's very good.
Yeah, I heard you play that jingle, that song about the coronavirus last night. I heard it straight away when I put the phone, the radio on.
Yeah, no, we dug that straight out.
I think
stuck
that's
it
like
on.
An exclusive.
Are you playing every night?
I mean, there is one limiting factor here, and that's we're not on every night. Apart from that, if we were, then you would be on every night.
Evening yet.
No, we haven't played it yet.
Oh, never mind. People get fed up with it. Well, I've got over 1,000 views. I think it's about 1,050 now views or something like that.
Well, that's good. But I think when people start hearing this, and have you been doing this with Ian?
What the virus song?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, he recorded it a couple of days ago. And he said I got 1,000 views in one day, and which I did. It's amazing, really, what radio does.
Okay, now, I know nothing about anything that's worth knowing. I built an entire career and probably a life on it. But I think you should do more, and you should put yourself out there more on YouTube and keep singing.
I think I should write singing. My songs, actually. Try and write my songs.
Well, you could become the man who writes the songs that makes the whole world... Oh, no, that was Barry Manilow. have a good night, Nigel. Take care.
I have a new girlfriend now.
Do you? You see,
Molly,
look at that.
Hello to Molly. I think Molly's listening. Hello to Molly in Tunbridge.
You're a dark horse, you are.
She's only 30.
You leave that news to the last. That should have been the first thing you said. Poor Molly. She'd have wanted a name check at the beginning. She got a name check at the end. Nigel, have a nice weekend.
Thank you very much, Howard. God
take care, my chuck. Our number here is 0344-499-1000. If you want to sing, if you want to talk, if you want to chide Hayley or me, maybe. Chide, that's a great word.
What does that mean?
Chide? It's good. To chide. Chide is to tell you off. It's a biblical word.
Oh.
I had teachers. God, don't get me started on teachers.
No.
Actually, that would be a very useful scene, as long as we don't name anybody. I had teachers who were tyrants, some of them. years ago, used to say, I'll chide you for that, boy. It was always boy. You know, I was never Howard or Hughes. Right. I was boy. Should we get to Joanne in Wolverhampton? Sorry, I'm choking on the banana. Should we get to Joanne in Wolverhampton now? This is very serious.
One banana, two banana, three banana, four. Five banana, six banana, seven banana, four. La, 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 la.
Now, sadly, I think there'll be a few people, including Hayley, who probably don't even remember that.
Yes, I do. I was humming along.
The banana splits. I think you were just pretending. That's very good, Joanne.
I thought it was very fitting.
No, I think it was very apt. How are things in Wolverhampton, then?
Very, very quiet.
Isn't it funny? Very the whole quiet. Nation is quiet.
It's very quiet. Apart from the garden.
What have you got in the garden? Dogs?
Or what's making noise
foxes?
In the garden?
Well, it started off with one raven in the bird bath. So today it's two ravens, three squirrels, and two wood pigeons.
So are you in the... You can't be... Are you in the centre of Wolverhampton to have that cavalcade of wildlife going on?
Yes.
Okay. I think I need to be moving to Wolverhampton then.
I know, I'm a little bit worried that, you know, even more will turn up.
Are they aware of you? Do you go and see them? You know what I'm saying? Do you open the window and look at them?
Yeah, I'll pop out. I am actually visually impaired, so.
Oh, cool. But, you know, you're aware of them and you can hear them.
Very aware of them. Yeah.
I mean, is it true? Is your sense of hearing for those things then? Has your sense of hearing sharpened then, Joanne?
Very, yes, very. I'm a salsa dancer as well, a salsa dancer.
Oh.
So it's like a sat nav in my head. You know, I've learnt a lot.
So you memorise the moves?
Yes, memorise the moves, and then. I do usually get left on the dance floor, and they have to be told, oh, she can't sing, can you take her back to a chair?
Are you doing salsa at home now?
Yes, I am, but without a partner, so I kind of just stay, you know, do it on the spot, you know, mambo, and things like that, so...
No, did you always like salsa? Or did somebody introduce you to salsa?
Well, I had a little bit of a dance background anyway, disco dancing. And then, you know, children came along, work came along. And then when I started to lose my eyesight, somebody recommended salsa dancing lessons. And they said,
well, keep you fit. Disco, disco dancing, I remember doing that. I remember... Oh, God, it's 1,000 years ago, but we had a party in Brighton, and I was working for the other side down there. I was working for the BBC down there, and I think I was 22. And we had a joint party between ourselves in the BBC and the Brighton Evening Argus. And I remember, I'm not a great, if anybody who's seen me, I'm a lousy dancer. And I can remember bopping up and down to Young Hearts Run Free by Candy Staton. It was not a pretty sight, even then. And I was stones lighter. Imagine if I was to do it now. It would have been like a mini earthquake.
Anybody can do it. I mean, we have people in their 60s, 70s, you know, 19 years of age. And it's a really great social get-together. But unfortunately, no more of that at the moment.
Oh, Joanne. Well, listen, look after yourself. I'm being told by Hayley that I've got to shut up now because I've got to get to the news and stuff. But have a good weekend, will you? Do some salsa.
And you too. Bye.
Night. Joanne in Wolverhampton. 0344 499 1000. Howard Hughes, Hayley Hayes, Talk Radio.
Late Night with Howard Hughes on Talk Radio.
I love this song. There was one radio station that I worked at where the boss told me not to play it. So every time I was naffed off with him, I used to play it.
Play it anyway.
Good strategy.
Sitting in my class, just in the way, staring into the windows of the world. Yeah, I
chemise. That is my Hales, that is my favourite record of all time.
Really?
Record. It's my favourite record.
Record.
Only because, I tell you, do you want to know why?
Go on.
Because she sounds so happy. You know, aww, she just sounds like she loves this guy so much. She loves his smile. She's going to go and buy a new dress for him. And, you know, she's just happy. We like happy. And I've always liked that song. People are always surprised when that's my favourite song, but it's true. That's gobsmacked you now, hasn't it, Hales?
Yes, it has. Nice, sir. Mm, I mean, we need I have other favourites as well.
Katrina?
I think somebody asked for that last night, didn't they? I'm sure somebody tweeted or texted in.
Actually, yes. Who asked for Led Zeppelin. I'm sorry, you sent me an email before and I haven't printed it out. And now I can't go over there and print it out because my computer's locked up over there, so we can't do that. If you want to tell us what that Led Zeppelin song was, and if it's appropriate and it's got no naughty words in it. I don't know if Led Zeppelin ever made records with naughty words in it. My phone's not unplugged.
Oh,
we'll put it on for you. God, the USBs come out. I am PC world now. That's where I am. I'm definitely P. Hang on.
Okay.
Oh, for God's sake.
It's all right. Don't worry.
No, it's what you know what these things are. What's the little mini USB called? Is it a C? Mini USB C?
Yes, USB C.
Okay. I think it's getting a bit. They break, don't they? If you buy the cheap ones like I do.
Probably. So you get what you pay for sometimes.
Well, that's life, I find. Hayley. 0344-499-1000 is our number here. I mean, I can't say if you're coming back from the pub because you're not. We're all in. We're all in. But it'd be nice to speak with you about what you're doing at the moment and how you're bearing up under it all and what your plan is for the weekend. Since we're being told that we can't go out, it's going to be warm. How are we going to deal with it? What are you going to be doing? Are you going to be playing board games? Do you have a routine? That will be interesting to know. Do you work to a routine, or have you fallen off the edge of the planet in the last couple of weeks? In other words, has your routine gone to hell? My shaving routine's gone. I'm not doing that. And I have to say, today, when I was typing away and working for my podcast, I caught myself wearing yesterday's T-shirt. And I thought, Howard, that's not the standard we're looking for. You need to improve. I changed for the show, by the way. I had a bath and I changed for the show. 0344-499-1000. Susan, call that number. How are you, Susan?
Good evening, Howard. Good evening, Hayley.
Good evening.
Lovely to hear you again. You know that song, Howard? I quite agree with you that I love your smile. It just, as soon as I hear it, you feel joyful, don't you? Because it's such
you
a
do.
Lovely, happy beat. You know?
I don't wonder what happened to Shanice, though.
I don't know. I hope she's alive and well. But I think that it's such a lovely, happy tune.
It is. That's why I always liked it.
I know.
And I know it's I have got. There is a version of that that is like a. There are three remix versions, and I've got all of them.
Oh, really?
It's all right. I'm not going to be playing them.
I didn't.
All right, I'll turn it off now.
I didn't realise they. Were, well, they've remixed a lot, haven't they, of stuff. But I don't know another song that I absolutely love. I don't know how you feel about this song when I tell you the title, but every time I hear it, I want to dance, and it's so embarrassing. But I find that the beat and the actual rhythms and the changes in the orchestration and the song is "Buffalo Stance" by Nana Cherry. Do you like that one?
I do. When that was a hit in the 90s.
Yes, it's quite old now. But
if it was in the 90s, I know it.
But every time I hear it, it's so gripping, you know. It's a very sort of, and it's a dancey song, isn't it? You know, you just want to keep, you just want to move your body around. Do you know what I mean?
Mm. But look, I am Mr. Retro. I love all those songs from the 90s, I have to say.
Yeah, I do. But I just thought I might have a tip for Angela, because she said she's a little bit frightened of going to bed. Now, I don't know whether this would help, but many years ago I lived in a gothic, very old house in London. I was renting a bedsit in there. And
didn't you tell me about that once? Wasn't that place haunted?
Well,
no, it was another place, but whatever. Okay,
so
you were living in a gothic house in London?
Yes, I had a bedsit, and there were about 7 bedsits in this house. And it's in it. They wrote a book about it. Somebody wrote, because it was built by a church architect. It was quite a place. But anyway, I'll cut a long story short because I don't want to bore you. But one day I went down to pay my rent to my landlady and landlord who lived in the basement. And I walked in on a burglar. And it was extraordinary. extremely traumatic, because later they found he had a knife on him, and he'd got a very big, violent criminal. Anyway, I don't know.
Oh, my God. It was so big. What did you do?
Well, I dealt with it. Your inner voice, my inner voice said, look, stay calm. Stay calm. Alarm bells were ringing off. There's something wrong here, and I just stayed calm. So what I'm trying to say is, I won't go into it because it's a long story and it was very traumatic. But after it was all, we called the police and everything was sorted out. And for about 6 weeks, I slept with the light on in my bedsit because I couldn't handle it. I was very traumatized by this this episode, that meeting this, walking in on this burglar, literally. So I kept my light on. And I'm wondering, after about 6 weeks, I thought, oh, it's fine, and I got over it, and I could just turn the light off and go to bed as normal and live as normal. But it was extremely traumatic and frightening. I'm just wondering if Angela could leave a little light on in her bedroom.
Or like they used to call them a night light, didn't they?
Yes. I was just coming to that. But the electrical shops are closed now, aren't they? She might not be able to get one. But if she could put a low wattage little light on and have it in the corner of the room, it might help. It was just an idea, to make her feel a little bit more comfortable.
Just chase away the darkness. I think that's a good idea. Yeah. And look, I think a lot of people are feeling this way for reasons that they can't rationalize at the moment, because there's a lot of big stuff going on and we're only human beings and we're used to doing ordinary things most of the time, and we're being hit with stuff that is not ordinary. And sometimes your reaction is just not rational to it. I think that's what it is. Tonight, I'll tell you a story. Tonight, when I came in for my little walk around the garden, I put the chain on my front door. And I never put the chain on the front door at night time. I just don't bother. It's been there for years. Yeah. Tonight I put the chain on. That's what I mean.
Yeah. It's a very strange time, and it's quite eerie. The quietness is quite eerie, really, in a way, isn't it? But like you see, I'm not really bothered by this because I was never a social butterfly anyway, so not going out much doesn't really, it's not a really big change in my life. But I would like to say, Howard, I think if you've been a social butterfly and you've been socializing heavily, you would really, really miss that now. It would be very difficult for you, but it's not difficult for me these quiet times.
Well, I agree with you totally. Susan, it's nice to hear from you, all right? But I do totally agree with you. There was a cartoon that I saw today, and it was two people. There was one screaming and climbing the walls, and underneath that one it said extrovert. And then there was somebody with a pair of headphones on sitting at a table typing away and doing work. And underneath it said introvert. So I think some people are going to be freaked out by not associating with other people. It's just going to be too much for them. And I think, you and me, Susan, I think we're the same about that. But Susan, thank you very much for calling Talk Radio. Hope you call when I'm next on here, whenever that may be. 0344-499-1000. I've got more messages on my Unexplained Facebook page. These people are going to be very surprised because they don't think I'm looking at it. There's Andrew Tovey, Lorraine, nice to hear from you. Where are you? Oh, you're in the States. Good on you. Ian, listened last night. Thank you for that. Glad you're listening tonight. Lee James Blunt, Robin, we'd love to. Robin, if you're listening right now, I'd love to. Robin is in America, Haley, and she's a very, very nice lady and a great fan of The Unexplained and somebody I would like to speak with. And Steve Bolton and Darren and Chris and Paul and Steve, other Steve and Kev. Nice to know. There are loads more, but that'll do for now. Should we get to Kyle then, Haley?
Yes.
Let's get to Kyle. Kyle, how are you doing? It's been months since you and I have discoursed.
Do you know what? It's been a long time, but I never want to come across as dull and boring, Howard.
So you save it all up then?
Just putting it out there, just saying it. But yeah, no, I'm all right. How are you two? You all right?
Yeah, we're groovy. It's a Friday.
I've got a confession for you, though, Kyle.
God. Yeah?
I've done something terrible. Do you want to know what it is? Because it involves you. You kindly sent me a disc of Linux computer operating system.
Yeah.
And I went and took it out of my bag. It fell on the floor here, and I stood on it. And it's broken. I'm so sorry. Can I buy one from you?
I'm sure that I can have a look and find another.
Can I get it for myself?
You can download. But there's an easy. Yeah, It'll get sorted.
I'm so sorry for that. I thought, oh, because one of those things, I kept meaning to do it. I kept meaning to install it on my old laptop, and I just kept forgetting. And you were kind enough to give it to me, and look what I did.
Oh, no, it's not. Well, you could have used it as a coaster, you see. Could have, unless you glued it back together.
No, I think I'm beyond the coasters here. I think, you know, bits of paper towel for me here. So what's going on with you, then, in Yorkshire?
Lancashire? You can't say Yorkshire.
Oh, sorry, you're on the Yorkshire-Lancashire border. Sorry, you're in Rochdale. Oh,
you can't say... Yeah, well, we are, yeah, because the... it's Todmorden is a kind of crossover point, isn't it, between the two places. So, no, there's not much going on. I was just going to say there's... when you were talking about the foreign versions of songs, there's a very good German and French version of Damn Time by Petula Clark.
Is that? I never heard that. How does that go? Yeah.
Have you got it?
Yes, in my collection, yes, I do have it. But I shall have. I'm just making a little list of things to do. But yeah, yes, I've got both of those, which, you know, quite sad, really, isn't it? But yeah, because as you say, they used to always do a foreign language version, didn't they? Or like the Beatles did for, is it Come Give Me Thine a Hand, I think?
Is it? What's that? Come Give Me Thine a Hand. I know, oh yes, I Want to Hold Your Hand. And there was Delete Dick.
Delete Dick, which she loves you. Yeah. So there's, and I think there's a rough German version, but I think they're just joking around, of Get Back called Get Raus.
Get out.
People don't know this, and you may not know this in Rochdale, but Scouse, Liverpudlian, which is my other language, you know, because that's what I come from, is derived from German. So when we say dies, dat, dem, and dos, it comes from German, because they say das ist gut. And we say dat's great. You didn't know that, did you?
I never knew that. Is that because it was a port, wasn't it, Liverpool?
And well, it's still one of the greatest ports in the world.
I did, mate. So I was thinking back.
It's a world in one country.
Gosh, yeah.
Two fantastic football teams, two great cathedrals, finest educational institutions.
But you can say about Manchester, can't you? Manchester, United and City.
You could if you wanted to. So since we have not talked for 1,000 years, how are you and the world has changed since we last spoke, how are you getting through all of this? Have you got a recipe for survival in the middle of all of this?
Well, it's a bit weird. So I used to come down to London sort of every few months to see my friends down there, my ex-work colleagues, but it's really weird. So when they first announced the lockdown, because I don't tend to, I'm not like weird, I don't think I'm weird, but I don't tend to go out much anyway. So, and because I'm not working, it doesn't really make it. I didn't notice it as much because I've got like a set routine. I was more concerned because I think it might have come up in a previous call, but in about November, my friend said, "Oh, you know, do you want a day out at Costco?" Because he had a day off at work. Very exciting. But I remember the year before,
lots of special offers. Sorry.
And that was it. And the year before, I'd seen, and this sounds horrible, I'd seen, not horrible, but a bit sad, but I'd seen this huge pack of toilet rolls. So when I went in November, he actually said to me, this sounds like I'm like a little old man getting taken out, but my friend said, "Oh, you bought them last time and they're still on offer." So I think I paid about nine quid. It wasn't a lot for, you know, a decent brand and all that. So obviously this was in November. And, you know, because I live on my own, I don't get through that much. But it's really weird, because I'm sure people must be looking.
What is that's prophetic. What is your average rate of consumption of loo roll? How much do you get through?
Well, I would, you know, on a good day, I mean, I don't want to drag the show down and be grim, but I would say, you know, because I'm northern as well, I would say it's about two sheets. Two sheets, probably.
Sheets a day?
You've got to serve it. You've got to ration it out in these. And I'm northern anyway, so... Mm-hmm. Seems perfectly fine to me, that.
Well, no, I think you could manage three sheets.
Oh, gosh.
I'm not murder money, Howard. Come on.
But no, I mean, what we're saying is that this was an act of... I mean, look, if I was one of my guests on The Unexplained, I would be saying that this was a prophetic occurrence, that you actually were guided to buy extra toilet rolls because somebody up there knew what was coming.
Well, it's weird. Well, like I said, because I went out in November, so so all the things, and the friend who took me, because he's still, I can say it, he works for the prison service. But he sort of said to me, he sent me a message, I'm being very polite, because he was a bit rude in his text message, and it was basically, you must be loving this, because you hoard everything, and obviously, as you know, from I always buy things and put them in the freezer. I've still got, like, I think it was, like, I don't know what, eight packets of super noodles, because I thought I'd stock up, not knowing that all this was going to happen.
You must be psychic.
Do you think? I could do the lottery numbers.
There's no other explanation for it, really.
So are you trying to tell me that you are the man who is living on super noodles and using two sheets of bog roll, two pieces of bog roll a day?
Well, in fact, well, the total, probably a little bit more, but I've got super noodles and my freezer is packed. And
when I was at college, super noodles was like most of my diet.
Yeah, super noodles. Yeah. Or pot of, what I didn't buy, though, which looking back was unfortunate, I didn't buy any pot noodles.
Right.
Which, you know, but no, the rest of it, I'm all right. And occasionally I go out a couple of, you know, I know you're not supposed to, but I've been out a couple of times a week to the co-op, and I bought me what I always get, some other stuff, so it doesn't look like I'm getting.
I think you're allowed to go to the supermarket.
No, you're allowed to go out for essentials. Just make sure you keep your distance and follow the advice.
That's true. That is true. You know,
I don't think they've got a security guard on the doors of the co-op saying, aha, you're Kyle. You've been here once before. Do not come in. Do not enter. Go home. No, I think you're allowed to get your food.
And you're allowed out once a day for your exercise, because we all need to keep healthy and...
I'm not doing that, I have to say. I should be using my quota.
You should get some fresh air. It is important. It's good for your mental health as well.
I open the back door and have a cigarette. Does that count?
Yeah.
I think probably not.
But close enough.
I'll have to check with my producer. So, you know, apart from that, then, life continues in its usual frame. What about work, then, Kyle? Are you able to continue working from home?
I don't work anyway at the minute, so it's...
it's not an issue?
No, it's not. No, and all my little radio bits and pieces, I just do... Because all my gear's here, so it's all right. It's not as bad as it could be, but for people who, you know, who have to go to work or are working from home, I think they would find it very difficult, or had kids about, that would be quite distracting, maybe. So,
Are you good with your own company, though? You know, yourself.
Yeah, Cobin, this sounds really like proper tragic, but yeah, I've done it since, well, I left work in 2017. Because I was quite ill from 2012, and I'm just used to it, you know. I'm never bored. I've got my little routine to get up, and I've got my little programs I watch in the daytime, and do my little bits and pieces, my odd jobs. But yeah, no, I never really think about it. But but I get it must be weird if you're used to getting up every day and putting a suit on. But the thing you said about the T-shirt, I've done that for a couple of days. Not because I'm, like, manky, but it's just, like, it doesn't smell, so I think, well, I'm going to wash it.
You might not be able to smell it because you're so close to it.
No, that's true. Although people have come on it, well, before it all came.
Trust you to analyse it.
I'm just saying. No, it's a girl thing, probably.
It's probably true.
Do you think? Well, the beard thing, I think I said last, the beard thing, I would say, I don't know, probably online, I would say beard, because I've fully got a full beard at the minute. I would say a bit of beard oil, and you can get like a little beard brush.
Oh.
So double sided. So it's got like a stick.
Is it like a yard brush?
No, it's not that thick, but you've got like, it's about 2 inches each side, and you've got like a little stiff bit, and then you've got a little smoothy bit for straightening your beard, for like brushing it through.
You see, the problem is that there are people like Brian Blessed who were made for beards. Brian Blessed is perfect with a beard. It's all part of the personality. It's all zoo. I don't know whether I can be that kind of person. I think I'm too understated for a beard. I don't know. I'm on the cusp at the moment.
I'd keep it. Oh, there was a guy on the Tube last time I was in London who had the most amazing sort of great sideburn and like a waxed moustache. So it was properly sticking out at either side. Like Wilf Lunn. That's a name from the past. Like a proper, like you could twirl it like a villain.
I'm trying to remember that comedian. Oh, Jimmy Edwards. Remember Jimmy Edwards?
Yeah.
God, they used to do TV shows. He used to do a TV show called Wacko. And yeah. Wacko wasn't, you know, we mean wacko today to be a bit crazy, somewhat derogatory term. Back in those days, wacko was about a school headmaster who used to cane the kids. Yeah. The stuff they used to do. Yes. But he had a great big handlebar moustache, is the point.
I was going to say, and in terms of sideboards, you've got all sideburns. You've got to be. You've got to go a long way to beat Amos Brightwell in Emmerdale.
Oh God, is he still in that?
No, he died.
Oh, he died. Yeah, okay. See, I'm a little bit behind with Emmerdale. Hey, listen, I've got to go because Haley's WhatsApping me saying, "Get to commercials, you idiot." I think is what you just said. You misspelled idiot, by the way. You put it says idot. You idot. That's no good. Kyle, we'll talk again. Thank you very much for your help. Good night.
Good night,
that's Kyle in Rochdale on the Yorkshire-Lancashire border, but more Lancashire than anything else. 0344 499 1000. If you want to join me from the quiet of your home and just talk about how you're seeing the world right now. You know, your view is as good as mine. Probably better. 0344 499 1000. We are Talk Radio.
Late Night with Howard Hughes on Talk Radio.
Now, disc jockey facts. Remember when disc jockeys used to say, hey, I could tell you something about that. There was a time, that's Bill Withers, by the way, who sadly left us today at the age of 81. Hits including Lovely Day, that is the remix version that was a big hit sometime in the 80s. And he had songs like Ain't No Sunshine When She's Gone. Everybody's done that song, but he did it the best. So he's left us. What was I saying about that? I've lost my thread now.
Hey, Bill Withers.
Yeah. DJ facts.
Yes.
People used to say when Lovely Day, he holds that note, I think, for something like 65 seconds or something. At the end of it, when he goes, Lovely Day, and it just goes on. I mean, that didn't sound very good, did it? It didn't sound a bit like Bill Withers. Sound like Bill Withers' great-grandfather. But no, the disc jockeys used to say, hey, did you realize that Bill Withers holds that note for 65 seconds? It may be, I mean, if you know that it was more than 65 seconds, I would like to hear from you. But back in the day when DJs used to feel that they had to say something relevant about the song and demonstrate knowledge, now all they say is, great songs coming up from Spice Girls.
Spice Girls, that's 20 years ago. Oh my gosh.
Got them on here. No, but I'm talking, it depends on the format you're talking about. You know, if you're talking about
classic hits.
Well, yeah, adult contemporary, there's classic hits, there's gold. They tell me.
Oh, I love gold. I listen to gold all the time.
Mm, do you? Okay. No, okay. Just into that. I was on pirate radio. Do you know that?
What?
I was, on illegal radio stations. No, I was on illegal stations.
Oh, wow.
I was on Radio Nova in Dublin. It was massive. I mean, if you're from Ireland.
Still quite massive, isn't it? Radio Nova?
Radio Nova. Yeah. No, this was the original pirate one.
Oh, right.
It was a guy called Chris Carey. Chris Carey was a DJ on Radio Luxembourg called Spangles Muldoon, was the name he gave himself. But he was a bit of a radio genius, was Chris. And so he'd made a bit of money out of computing and stuff like that, and he founded in the 80s this great, huge, massive radio station with a great big illegal transmitter, and it covered all of Ireland. And you could get the AM signal you could hear all over England, all the way down to Birmingham. And I worked on this station back in the 80s when I was just a child, and it was like, Radio Nova, was a guy with a great big voice who used to say, Lawrence's Jewelers, Henry Street and Ilex Centre, where diamonds are forever. It was fab. Sorry, I don't know how we got onto that, but it's just, I had to get it out of my system, don't you think?
Do you feel better?
I do. Every so often I have to have a bit of an anorak.
Yeah, yeah. No,
otherwise, I feel there's something missing in my life.
Yes, as long as you feel good for it, then that's
fine.
We're here to provide the service.
I've got some great words here. Let's go to Robin, were the words that I was thinking of saying next. So let's go to Robin in the United States, because I asked her to call. Robin, nice to hear you on here.
Hey,
if indeed
Howard,
we are here, are you on here? Oh, Robin, I'm very good. My God, we get callers from Hemel Hempstead who sound like... And you sound like you're in the next room.
Oh, that's good.
So what's going on in your part of the United States? First of all, tell my listener where you are.
I am just outside of Philadelphia, about 45 minutes northwest in a town called Doylestown.
Right. And you've been listening to My Unexplained both online. In fact, you listened to it online before it was on the radio. So you've been with me for an awful long time. So I know a fair bit about you and your life. And you've done some nice things for me, like you sent me some vitamins, as you call them, earlier this year, which was a nice thing to do. And I'm still consuming the dregs of those. But talk to me about you and your life, because you were very excited about this new job that you got earlier this year. What's going on with that?
Well, the job is no more.
Permanently?
Yeah.
So what happened? I mean, you were working for a boutique donut place, weren't you?
Yes. And basically what happened was coronavirus happened and Governor Wolf closed down all non-essential businesses, and that was the end of that.
Mm. Now, your president, Mr. Trump, basically told all of the governors of all of the states to make a plan for this, because he basically said that the nuts and bolts of it, the day-to-day stuff to do with coronavirus, was not really down to him, because he's the president, he's got to look at the big picture. So that meant, I think, that every state was taking a different attitude or look at it. What is happening where you are now?
Governor Wolf has been pretty proactive. He started stay-at-home orders about 2 or 3 weeks ago and closed down non-essential businesses. So there's a lot, and people are pretty good here about social distancing for the most part. So this area is, we're getting hit, but not as hard as, you know, some of the bigger cities. You know, Philly and New York are really getting hit pretty hard. We're doing pretty well so far, but the numbers are going up.
Are you in lockdown?
Not yet, but it's coming.
Have you got a plan for it?
Well, you know, you had said earlier, you know, that the introverts are used to this. Our entire household is full of introverts, so we're basically just living life like we usually do. We just don't go out as much. We're fine.
Because this is a thing that a lot of people in this country don't think, that you grow a lot of your own stuff, aren't you? You're pretty self-sufficient, and that's very much an American thing.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, our community garden is closed down for now. I'm on the committee for the garden, and we're kind of looking at maybe June, but that may not happen this year. I do have a porch garden going, but for the most part, yes, most of the time I do grow most of my own food.
All right, well, I'm glad that you're keeping okay, and when the lockdown comes, it sounds like you're well set. Just very quickly, somebody I spoke to at the top of this said, and I hadn't read any of these reports, but then I'm not seeing much news at the moment from America, that people are buying guns because of this crisis. Is that so? Because that, to me, doesn't really compute, but this is America.
Well, right now in this state, in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, gun shops are closed.
Right. So they're not buying guns
that I know of.
Good.
Yeah. But whenever we have upheavals here, people tend to queue up at the gun store. Now, it's not always to buy firearms. Sometimes they go in to get ammunition, or they just go in to get survival stuff. But it's not, you mean, they're not lines out the door or anything like that.
Last question. I keep getting told about America and the preppers. I've interviewed a couple of preppers, people who make preparations. They buy a year's supply of storable food and all of that sort of stuff. They must be absolutely having what we call a field day. You know, this must be their time.
Yes, it is. Yeah, we're getting a lot of crazy commercials on TV for all kinds of food that I honestly don't know how anybody on earth would ever eat it ever. But hey, whatever. You know, if people want to spend their money on that kind of thing, they can go ahead.
I heard a commercial once. I listen to a lot of American radio on the internet when I'm not listening to talk radio, which is most of the time. And I heard a commercial for a guy saying, storable bacon. You can buy, and I think it was something like, you know, 10 kilos or 20 kilos of storable bacon that you can just keep because it's air packed and you can open it in 10 years from now and you can eat it when, you know, when the bomb's dropped or whatever it is. It's a different way of thinking. Robin, be with me on Sunday night for The Unexplained. Thank you for supporting me and my show.
You're very welcome. I'll be there, Howard.
All right. God bless. Thank you. Good night, Robin. It's Robin near Philadelphia. I should play a bit of Elton John. I haven't got it, though. A Philadelphia Freedom. I love that song, Hayley.
Yes, you can do that in the next break. Why not? Or Amy can find it for you if you haven't got it.
Okay. Oh, you mean I can take a little bit of a holiday from playing the music?
Yeah, you can, you know, sit back, relax, eat another banana.
Okay. I thought Amy was having a sleep. Amy, you there?
I'm not sleeping.
She's definitely not sleeping.
Amy's always on the case.
I can
we
tell
love
if
her.
She was sleeping.
I saw Elton John. No, it's all right. I'm sure you were just resting your eyes.
Mind you,
did your grandmother used to say that?
Sorry.
No, my grandmother used to say, Nanny, are you sleeping? And she used to say, I'm just resting my eyes.
Oh.
I was a kid. But you asleep, Nan?
They actually say that if you just close your eyes, it's not as good as sleep, but if you're tired, if you just close your eyes for 10 minutes, it does actually help you, gives you a little boost, apparently.
I think it's probably true.
Yeah, I was watching a program about sleep once, because sleep is quite an interesting phenomenon. So that's a nice little tip for you.
But people are only ever interested in sleep when they're not getting it.
Yeah, well, it's like anything, though, isn't it? I mean, you only ever Google any symptom when you think you've got the symptom, right?
I was going to say it's a bit like sex, but people are only ever interested in sleep when they're not getting sleep.
Yeah.
I slept for 3.5 hours last night because when I do these late shows, my body clock has to readjust to
really?
It.
It's yeah, not that late. You're at home. You switch off your computer and you're probably in your bedroom in 2 seconds flat.
Well, I know. No, there's the soup to be made.
Soup.
Yeah, though I have a little mug of soup.
In the morning.
Yes. I open one of my cans. Tonight, it's probably going to be beef broth.
Who has soup at 1 o'clock in the morning?
Well, it's one of the very, very few pleasures in my straitened, miserable life.
I thought you were having whiskey.
Well, no, I had soup and then a whiskey.
Oh,
I had a
right.
nice glass of whiskey after that. Oh. And then I couldn't sleep, and then I turned the TV on. And then I made the grave mistake. And it's something that, you know, I should have outgrown this years ago, of playing back bits of the show.
Oh, gosh, Howard.
And then
me
I
and
thought,
Amy are just shaking our heads now. I mean, first rule of thumb is don't get your digestive system working if you want to sleep, because your digestive system is one of your biggest systems in your body. If you're going to eat and try and sleep, not going to help. Then you're putting on the TV and then you're listening back. You're working.
Yeah. One of those people, you know, I'm one of those awful people. It may not sound like it now, but I'm one of those people. You must know this. I'm never off.
I know, like, but you don't
my producer.
Yourself.
I know. My producer, Reese, for Sunday night,
yes,
knows that if he sends me an email at 11:30, at 11:30 and one, you
yes,
know, one
you
minute,
do reply very 11:31, quickly.
they'll get a reply.
Yeah.
Because that's just the way that I am.
But
I hate leaving stuff undone.
But then don't be surprised that you don't sleep then.
I've just been moving a microphone stand that's got a really heavy bass on it.
Right.
I nearly dropped it on my foot.
I felt like you were going to do like an Elvis Presley then. I thought you were going to like rock and roll around your mic stand.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Thank
you very much.
Favourite Elvis song? I love Way On Down.
Oh, yeah, I like that. Yeah, yeah.
Where the guy goes, Way On Down. I can't even go that far.
I did get a message from Heddy about 20 minutes ago.
Heddy.
And he said he's preparing a song, but he writes songs for us, so he needs time. But he is going to give us a call with a song, but he needs some time to get the lyrics together.
Those of us who can still remember Christmas... remember that Heddy composed... I don't know how Heddy did it. Heddy's a regular Unexplained listener. And also a scientist. And also a musician. But Heddy is a musician who is able to compose things on the fly very quickly. So we said at the beginning of the show, you know, if you're a musician, if you can compose a jingle for the show, for us, then please do it. Thinking that, you know, maybe nobody will do it. Because it's a big ask. So we're like two-thirds of the way through the show, and Hedy does this fantastically orchestrated, written thing that he sings, and it's perfect, and it sounds really great. And it includes the highlight, if there were highlights, it includes stuff that we talked about in the show. That's what I call ability, don't you?
It's really cool. Really cool.
You know what this is?
Oh, my gosh.
What does that sound like to you? You should know.
It sounds like you've got a big book and you're flicking through the pages really quickly.
Have another think.
I feel like I'm on like one of those stations where they do Guess the Sound and win £1 million.
You won't be getting £1 million from me, Chucky Egg. Chucky Egg, that's a Liverpoolism, by the way. Chucky Egg. All right there, Chucky Egg. Yay. No, it's a deck of cards. I did this interview for my Unexplained show with Rebecca Campbell, who wrote the Starseed Oracle guidebook and came up with... A lot of people are doing these sets of cards. They're a bit like tarot, a bit like tarot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So would you like me to pick you a card?
Go on,
this is just for entertainment purposes only, okay?
God. Well, I don't think you're...
Yeah. Not going to be that entertaining.
Yeah, go on.
Let's not break the habits of a lifetime, yeah. Hey? So, do you want me to shuffle or just pick?
No, go on, shuffle, and I'll tell you when to stop. Stop.
Okay, stopped. You want me to pick a card on your behalf? Do you want it in the middle, from left or right end?
Put your hand over them, and I'll tell you when to stop. Like, put your hand, like, floating over. Mm-hmm. Stop.
Okay, I've got one here. I'll take it out. And you've got... Oh, that's interesting. Perspective.
Ooh.
None of this matters. Zoom out. Common ground.
Well, that's quite apt for the time, isn't it, if you think about it?
Well, it is. And the picture is Earth from space. But ooh, like a little time... The pictures on these cards are great. You've got some illustrator to do it. And I'm just trying to see which, if I can find perspective. I'll look it up when we take some commercials and try and find it, because there's an explanation for what each of them is. You know, I used to know, well, I still do know, he might even be listening now, Christian Dion, the psychic who used to do tarot cards, and he used to say, now you'll be amazed, he said, but you'll find yourself picking out the same cards every time. And even though I thought, yeah, right, I did. I kept picking out the same cards. But then you've got perspective, Hayley.
Yeah, yeah.
No, what do you say?
Well, you need perspective at the moment, don't you? Because we all have to realise that this is just temporary. Our life will get back to normal at some point in time.
And that's exactly what it, you know, what it's about, isn't it? That some people are losing perspective and they're thinking this is going to be situation
forever.
Normal. But it isn't.
It isn't, no.
You know, people, if you were wondering, look, go back a year. What were people talking about a year ago? What was driving people up the wall?
Brexit.
12 months ago. Brexit. Who says Brexit now?
Oh, because, you know, we
haven't. When was the last time you heard somebody talk about Brexit? Yeah, well, no, total relief. Everybody was sick. Even I was sick and tired of it by the end of it. But, you know, time has gone by. A decision was made. And it's supposedly going through, although it might be delayed now because of, you know, the latest development in life's rich and varied tapestry, coronavirus. But what the point is of that is that everything changes. You know, as George Harrison once sang, you know, all things must pass. So those people who are thinking this is terrible and I'm freaking out and I'm panicking, you just have to try and stop. And it's difficult for a lot of us. It's difficult for me. You know, I'm not the kind of, you know me, I'm a worrier. I've just had to stop thinking about it and just take the long view. And the long view is that all of those scientists and medical people and all the rest of it who are working 24/7 on this will find a solution to it and will come through it. And, you know, the shops will open again and business will start again and people will go back to work. And that's how we've got to think, I would say. Shall I pick a card for me? Do you think I should? Dare I?
Go on. Quickly.
All right, let's do this.
We're a bit late.
Okay, so we're over time, aren't we? Oh, God. So hard.
Time doesn't matter anymore.
Oh, I've dropped one of them. Hang on. I only remember to put a pair of socks on just before I came on it. Here we are. This is the one I picked for me. Karmic relationships.
Oh.
That's you and me.
Yes.
Orion energy, polarity, soul growth, conflict.
Oh.
I think that just about says it all, really. Oh, we'll just put those to one side. This is, it's not The Unexplained. It is Howard and Hayley on Talk Radio, 0344-499-1000. Call now. You'll only regret it if you don't.
Late Night with Howard Hughes on Talk Radio.
499 1000. This is Talk Radio. Howard Hughes and Hayley Hayes doing it for you before they do it to us. Be part of all of this. You know you want to.
I used to be a rolling stone, you know. If a cause was right, I'd leave to find an answer on the road. I used to be a heart-beating for someone, but the times have changed. The less I say, the more my work gets done.
Can I have a little bit more? Muscle Shoals Horns. That is what I call music. Volume 5. Top tune. Oh, we've pretty much played it all now, haven't we, Hales?
I love it.
That has been my... I actually was lucky enough to be at Party in the Park, because I was on it. I was on stage introducing people on Party in the Park in 2002, I think it was. And Elton John did that song in the pouring rain with the Backstreet Boys.
Oh, it was awesome. One of the greatest moments. Boys.
And I was right up the front, and I was right by the stage in the pit. And I was looking up at Elton John and thinking, this is one of the great moments of my life. And I hadn't got a camera with me, and I thought, I've just got to try and remember this. Mm. And I remember Elton doing his sound check, and it was pouring with rain, and I was thinking, that stage is starting to get wet. What a professional that guy was. Didn't get to meet him, sadly. Although, as you know, I met many other stars.
I think you've mentioned Kylie before, but I don't know.
No, do you want to hear about the day I met Kylie?
No, we've heard that before.
Okay. Do you want to hear about when I spoke with Lionel Richie?
No, I'd love to hear from John in Blackpool.
Oh, all right then. Let's do it. I mean, yes, let's do. John, how's Blackpool tonight? How's the big tower?
It's good. I actually live in Cleveleys.
Cleveleys is very different, although the trams still go there, don't they?
Yes, yes, they do. I just had to call you up. I mean, you're such an enthusiastic guy. By the way, you're right about, you know, George Harrison and Zen. I met him once. I worked in a film he financed. I emailed you about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and you were kind enough to email back. I've been a convert to your show, and, you know, I've been downloading all your shows and listening to them, so... I just had to call up and say hi.
Well, that's really nice. And how did you come to work with George Harrison?
Well, I've always been interested in, you know, the stuff that, you know, you're interested in. When I was 18 and a photographic student, I went on all these monster hunts, you know, with the English and the Americans to, you know, Loch Mora and Loch Ness. Meantime, I was at photographic school. And Star Wars just came out, and I decided to, you know, write to everybody I could find, and I got a job in the film industry. And somewhere down the line, I worked on the Time Bandits.
I was going to ask, what were you doing in the film? And it's special. I mean, special effects is a real skill.
Yeah, miniatures and photographic effects, basically utilizing all the stuff I learned at college, and everything I'd seen. I was very lucky. I worked on some wonderful things. But, you know, Harrison was a lovely guy. He used to come in with his children and, you know, hang out and look at the models and stuff. It was really lovely. But, I mean, all the stuff you do in The Unexplained, that's, you know, meat and drink to me. I'm really enjoying it. I'm really listening to one of your, Maria Wheatley. That's an interesting one about the ley lines and everything.
Really, yeah, no, that really was about 12 shows ago. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, really fantastic work. And I like your stick-with-itness. I admire that, you know, I admire your spirit.
Well, you know, I know that not everybody is going to get every subject. I mean, look, I don't get every subject. They're not all my favourites. And sometimes you'll get somebody on and you'll think, well, you know, the hype around them was really, really good and they're not really delivering. And that's an issue. But sometimes you get a gift that keeps on giving. And yesterday here, sitting in exactly this old leather chair, I spoke with Kevin D. Randall about Project Blue Book, which was to do with investigating UFOs, the American government's various programs to investigate UFOs. Yeah. We did 70 minutes together. It felt like we'd spoken for 5 minutes, and I could have done 4 hours with him easily. So I think that's going to be a good one. That's going to be edition 440.
Are you going to put that out soon,
Yeah, I've got that planned for probably Sunday night, Monday morning early.
Oh, excellent.
So that's going on there. But,
you
know when you get somebody good.
Yeah, I'd be lucky to meet some people, you know, quickly. Georgina Bruni, I knew her.
Now, Georgina, we've got to explain to our listener. Georgina Bruni, or Bruni, I don't think she's with us anymore, is she?
No, she's not.
But she came on the original Unexplained show that was on Talk Sport. Okay. Before the podcast, I had the show on Talk Sport. I took it there. I worked for Kelvin McKenzie.
Okay.
And Georgina Bruni had recordings of the, I think I'm right in saying, recordings of the radio traffic that happened on the night of the Rendlesham Forest incident, when supposedly UFOs and aliens landed at twin American and US air bases in Suffolk, Christmas 1980. And somehow Georgina Bruni had got recordings of the slightly scared sounding traffic between the, you know, the military police and the control tower and various others. I don't know how she got those recordings, and unfortunately I've lost them. I think we had to buy rights to play them on the air. Okay. I don't have them anymore, but she was amazing, wasn't she?
She was amazing. She was a born journalist, and what struck me was she had no interest in UFOs at all. She just got into the subject, you know, Rendlesham Forest, her book, You Can't Tell the People. I mean, it's still one of the best around. And she just went in with an open mind and said, you know, hang on a minute. And certainly something very strange happened. Whatever it was very, very strange and very convincing. Especially, I think, what they did to the young United States Air Force security police, you know, to get them to, you know, some very strange things happened to them afterwards. So, yeah, anyways, it's all good stuff, Howard, and, you know, you do keep it up. I mean, as far as the film industry goes, I was very lucky. My first job was on Alien. That was doing the movies on that, So,
did you, listen, I am the world's biggest Sigourney Weaver fan. I think she is great. I've watched that film so many times.
Yeah, she was.
What a wonderful person. Did you get to meet her?
Oh, sure. She used to bring us cups of tea in the morning.
You save the best for last there. So I've always wondered, because I'll never get to meet her myself, what is she like when you're talking? Is she like an ordinary person sort of thing?
Very much so. She's very down to earth. I mean, she was very young. I mean, we're going back quite a number of years on Alien. It was her first. She'd done some off-Broadway, but it was her first kind of thing. She was lovely. Yeah, very, very nice. They all were, actually. It was a very happy shoot, very happy film. I mean, I did some others after, as I say, but Alien was very special, and all the crew and all the cast. I mean, I can't remember any arguments. It was just it was a good time in the industry, and of course everything was handmade. There was no CGI. You know, it was a very small crew, pretty low budget actually when we started. So she didn't. She didn't get much money for it either. But that wasn't the point. She was just wonderful and very game lady. I mean, she used to come in with mugs of tea in the morning with a special effects crew.
That's a proper star, isn't it? You know, nobody's got airs and graces.
Yeah, and they were all great. You know, Harry Dean Stanton no longer with us. He was a character. John Hurt.
John Hurt was my hero.
Yes, he was a wonderful, wonderful guy. Of course, he got thrown into the film because they had to replace John Finch, who was. He was playing John Hurt's part at first, and John Finch had to leave the film. So they went to see John Hurt, I think, very late one night, and he was in the studio the next morning doing it, you know. So I was always very disappointed John Finch didn't stay, and I was a big admirer of him. But anyway,
I can't believe that John Hurt is no longer with us. It just doesn't compute. He's one of those people that won't compute.
I know. We've lost so many, and John Hurt was, tell me about it. We've lost so many. Also so many of the crew. We just lost one, another guy, a model maker that I worked with on Alien, Bill Pearson. He was another Scot.
And there was a whole... I mean, look, I live in an area that is, you know, on the sort of London, Surrey fringes. And yes. I'm not very far from Shepperton. I'm not very far from all the studios, really.
Yes.
And there were people who lived around... I rented a flat from a guy who worked in the film industry. And he was making very, you know, very nice money there. And he bought a flat to rent out to people like me when I first arrived in London. And he said, you know, that's just money for my back pocket there. I can't remember what he was, but he was making a shedload of money in the film industry.
Yes. The film industry was very busy in those days, and I mean, I was lucky in a way because I got to meet some of the old hands, you know, the ones who'd been around for a long time. They were just kind of getting to the end of their careers, and you could learn them. You know, we all have heroes, and I had mine. You know, Ray Harryhausen, for example, I got to meet him. Anyway, it was really to talk about you, just to say thank you for all your work, and I hope we get to speak again. And you sound so up and so cheerful, and it's a nice vibe, you know, coming from you guys.
Well, that's really kind, John, and thank you very much. And, you know, I'm a Liverpudlian, and for me, a special day out when I was a kid was going to Blackpool. In fact, my first holiday when I was four, and I have a dim memory of going by train from Liverpool, was Blackpool. Blackpool was always a day out for us.
Yeah,
And Cleveley's.
Yeah, you know, Cleveley's is nice. It's you know, I'm right by the sea. I've only been here a wee while, but I've always, you know, looking back, I've always lived by the sea. Obviously, I lived in London, you know, all that stuff. But I just like the sea. It's a thing. Mm. But of course, it's like up here now. It's so quiet. Like you know, you're saying London.
That's not like Blackpool at this time of year. John, we've got to go. No. Thank you so much for what you said. It's nice to speak with you. I hope we get to talk again. And keep emailing. Thanks, John. Thank you. Great stories from the film industry. Sigourney Weaver, I absolutely think she is the greatest. If you've never seen Alien, you haven't lived. Ridley Scott's first Alien movie, and also when she reprised the role and did it again. I'm a bit of a fanatic about those things. Now, 0344 499 1000, coming up to midnight. We have another hour to do with you here on Talk Radio. Me and Hayley Hayes. My name is Howard Hughes. You are with the mighty Talk Radio.
Late Night with Howard Hughes on Talk Radio.
Bist du ein von allen Freunden verlassen, dann geh in die Stadt.
Ja, wohl.
Downtown, da wo das Leben überall in den Straßen so viel Lichter hat. Downtown, vergiss im bunten Nierenschein die Stunden deine Sorgen und hör die Großstadtmelodie bis in den frühen Morgen. Sei wieder froh, da ist alles für dich da, da wirst du Dinge erleben, die sind wunderbar. Come on, Downtown, so viel Gesichter, ho, Downtown, so viele Lichter, ho, Downtown.
That is fab.
Ja, Downtown. Der Patchouli.
Her phrasing, though, I don't speak German, sounds excellent to me. Can we just hear a little bit more?
Bist du allein, weil keine Blicke dich grüßen, dann geh in die Stadt.
Ja, ja.
Downtown. Bist du allein, weil keine Lippen dich küssen, dann geh in die Stadt. Downtown.
Who would have thought it?
Im bunten Neonschein die Stunden deiner Sorgen.
You can forget all your troubles, forget all your cares, and go downtown, where all the lights are bright, downtown, waiting for you tonight, downtown, everything's waiting for you. You think I've lost the plot now, don't you, Hayes?
I thought that long time ago.
Have we got time for more? All together now, you and me, downtown. That's Philip Schofield used to play this. Remember that?
John.
Philip Schofield made this song. My listener will remember. Philip Schofield made this song famous when he used to do children's BBC.
Really?
Mm.
What, like with Go Live or something? Or
yeah, I think it was in the 80s when he had Gordon the Gopher.
Yeah. I rang up once when I was about 8. I rang up to do a competition with Gordon the Gopher and Sarah Green. And I won
a little Gordon the Gopher.
I can't remember. Yeah, I don't think my mum still might have it, but I remember I got it through the post and it was like winning the lottery. It was amazing.
I'm still smarting after Phil Schofield got my gig. Do you want to know the story?
I think I'm going to have to.
It's a good one. No, you'll thank me. I was once phoned in my Capital Radio days. I was always getting phone calls from people saying, would you like to do this and do that? Unlike today when the phone never goes. This guy was a TV producer and he said, I'm wanting to... Now, I wasn't as into all of this stuff, you know, the unexplained stuff, as I am now. So it was quite prophetic. This was in the mid to late 90s. He said, we want to do this show and we want to call it Predictions. And we've got this mystic from the East called Mr. West. So this guy from the East was Mr. West.
That's a wind-up.
And he came from Singapore, I think, or maybe Shanghai, right? He flew in specially for the show, and they said, we want you to front it. And they said, you've just got to do a few things. Buy yourself a nice jacket. And, of course, I did it in a British Home Stores jacket that didn't quite... He said, you know, got to buy an expensive jacket. Don't shave for 4 days, and then before you go on telly... shave, because then you look nice and fresh-faced. I mean, I was so young doing that thing. I'd never read an auto cue before. And he hired a lot of, BBC staff who were doing freelance stuff. And he hired out this warehouse in Ealing, Acton. It was Acton. Warehouse in Acton. We did the thing on a Saturday morning. And it was Predictions. And Mr. West came on. And I nearly laughed because they brought him on. He was a little guy. Lovely man. I don't know what happened to him after this, but they brought him on a cart. They actually pulled him along on a rope and a cart, you know, like a sort of milk float thing. And they pumped dry ice into the studio. So he came in on this cloud. It looked ridiculous, but it was great fun. And he made all of these predictions about various important people. I think most of them didn't come true. It's a long time ago. And I got to enjoy it. You get to forget the crew and the camera and stuff. Anyway, the program was eventually made. This was a pilot. And I remember saying to somebody, I said, what have you got me doing this pilot program for? This is the kind of thing that Philip Schofield will end up doing. Well, I was prophetic because 2 years later, the show Predictions appeared on ITV, fronted by Phil Schofield. Was that worth hearing?
Yes.
You've got to say that, haven't you?
Yes.
Do you want to hear? Now, we want to thank Kyle for the German song that we just heard, Petula Clark singing whatever version of Downtown that was, which really you'll be getting tweets from people who remember Philip Schofield, by the way, using that on children's BBC, not the German version. Do we want to hear the other song that Kyle sent us? Your choice. You're the producer.
Why don't we hear from Mark first? Just
all right,
because he's been
Mark.
Waiting a while. That's all. So I'm worried.
And it's just not fair.
Off.
It's not fair to keep people waiting. Mark, you're on Talk Radio. How are you?
Hello, Howard and Hayley.
Hiya.
Hello.
Hello.
Howard, yeah. I've got some things for you to write down first, and
okay.
For other people that can watch.
I've got to find the pen first.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You found the pen?
You had to make it difficult, didn't you, Mark?
He needs a proper desk.
But that's the problem. I've realised, because this place is so small, I actually don't have a table. The table that I did have used to belong to my old girlfriend years ago. And she used to have it when she first started work. And it was in here for years. And it was just a basic pine table. And I got rid of it eventually. And I don't have a table. And now, of course, I need a table. Where can I get a table now?
You need to set yourself a proper sort of studio sort of corner.
So I know. Well, I've got a corner. I've got a little corner of the flat where I do this, and I sit in this little low leather chair. Like, in fact, at the moment, I'm sitting like, remember the way Ronnie Corbett used to sit on his big chair? I've got my hands like that, and I'm sitting forward on this old leather chair. Anyway, you didn't call to tell me that. What do you want me to write down?
Right. Operation Backfire, A4V2. Mm-hmm. It's a lovely film, and what it is... It's, you know, nice in the sense, and not nasty, but it's the British military piecing together and actually going through a test firing of the V4 German rocket. It's basically
really?
the first point. It's on YouTube, and those Operation Backfire, and then the letters A4 and then V2. Will find it at the top of the list, or more or less on the Google. And over 40 minutes, It's a documentary, in effect, of them literally piecing together the process and actually the rocket, what's inside it and all that lot, and then making a test fire.
Now, listen, I thought there was a V1 and V2. I had no idea that the Germans in the war developed a V4. What was that?
Think of the classic, what would you call it? What was the really old, what was it? They had humans, not puppets, but, what was the space series?
Fireball XL5.
No, we're going further back than that. Black and white.
Gee.
Zorg or whatever, or whatever it was.
Mork and Mindy.
That's even before my time. Mork and Mindy.
Further back.
That was Robin Williams. Sorry.
But it was about space and stuff.
Nanu. I'm sorry.
Think of the classic sort of animation sort of shaped rocket that's pointed at the top, but then gets smaller at the bottom with the four fins.
Yes.
That sort of classic shape, because it was... They fired them from over, I'll say Hollandish, over that sort of area, and then fired them, and they were... I think they were travelling at something 6,000 mile an hour, and then basically coasted all the way to London.
Right.
Yeah, they were dangerous objects, obviously. But they were moving that quick that, no one could do anything about it. But that was the very forefather or starting point of that, the space race.
Well, it was. I mean, what people forget is that the Germans were way ahead of us in rocketry. We didn't know anything about rocketry. And, of course, London was being targeted by V1 and V2 rocket bombs. The V2 was the one that they were scared of because that was enormously powerful and could do massive amounts of damage if it was to be developed. Of course, the war was coming to an end then. But what people forget is that after the war, people like Wernher von Braun and others from the German rocket program...
That's one of the names.
Well, in fact, you will hear one of my podcasts recently was about all of this, how a lot of these people, they did deals so that they were able to get out of Nazi Germany, and they went straight to America. They'd been Nazis, they'd been working for Hitler, and they worked on the Apollo program, and that is how America got to go to the moon.
And this is part of that history. And what fascinated me from a more technical angle, they actually had carbon... Well, I'll say carbon fibre, but it was sort of carbon sort of fins right by where the rocket was, where the jet came out, that they put on the last minute because they were so fragile, that steered it. Now, that technology hasn't really been used until, early 80s. I remember, you just reminded me of this, a lad, Adrian. I was living at a farmhouse with loads of other people, and he come back in the evening, and he was so excited, and it was like, what, and all this lot, and they'd made carbon fiber brake discs and tested them on an aeroplane. It was landing, and getting these brake discs really hot, and what they discovered, and they sort of predicted it as well, but the brakes got better when it got hot, whereas metal ones, when they get hot, they get worse. And that was that really bound of the, they're using in Formula One and everywhere now, and particularly on aircraft, because they're so good.
Right, but so they were so far ahead of their time. Are you saying that the Germans had technology that was so far advanced at the end of the war that we eventually inherited that?
Those fins on that rocket, it surprised me that they were using those sort of materials then.
And I always think of carbon fiber as being something from the 1980s, so that's amazing.
Well, carbon fiber, I've got some here, bits of it, because there's a company I know that make various bits for the Formula people. And it's amazing material, but only use air tools. Don't use electric tools, because the dust gets into the motors, and you can get electrocuted as well. But it's unbelievably light, yet unbelievably strong.
Well, thank you for telling me that story. And who's in this movie?
There's one thing I was going to tell you about, but there's some other bits. But go on.
No, who's I'm just wondering who was in this movie about the V4?
What it is, they were recreating everything from the manufacturing process of the various places, the little lorries and everything that brought all the materials and propellants and various other bits and pieces. the construction of them, and then they do a test fire. It's the most interesting film.
I'll watch that. Listen, please email me with the rest, will you, Mark? Because we don't have the time to go into it now, but I'm fascinated by what you said.
I was just going to say, what else is it going to say? Various other bits. Have a look at, what I was going to say. Can you find out something for me? It's something maybe for Sunday, but it's beyond the internet, because I've tried looking, right? And this is a proper question for you as your knowledge, and this is where the human mind beats the internet. Last Friday at 8:30, I saw in the south of the sky. Now, one of the things I do is sit outside when it's warm enough and watch, especially just after sunset, and you watch it get darker and the stars appear. And occasionally you see the satellites, and sometimes you see
you can see the International Space Station.
Yeah, I was going to say, the International Space Station.
So what did you see? What did you see?
Right. There were satellites sort of height. Three little dots in a row, then a little bit further back, two sort of flanking it, and then a little bit further back, two more flanking it at about the same sort of distance.
I think that might have been the new SpaceX. Well, I think you're talking about the SpaceX satellite launch, the satellites that are meant to bring the internet to various places that can't get it by wire. Maybe that's what that was. Hey, Mark, listen, we're out of time. Haley's telling me that I've got to move on, so will you send me an email about that?
Yeah. Well,
thank you, Mark. I mean,
computer sorted as well.
Yes, I've got to
download the Linux 19.2.
I will. Kyle told me all about that. I'm going to do it. Mark, I've got to go. Thank you very much for that, though. That is Mark with some stuff that I need to be working on. My first task in the morning, though, when I get up, is to try and work out what the hell has gone wrong with my PC this time. I mean, okay, look, limited budget. I know I buy cheap stuff, but mostly I'm able to make it work. But for some reason, it's all frozen up tonight. So have you got any tips for me as to how I can unfreeze?
Is it just not coming on, or what? What's it doing?
No, it's not doing it. It's weird. It's if I've been doing, like, for example, earlier tonight, I was, if you want to know, the bits of music that we've been using tonight, I was downloading those. Yeah. I was ripping them off the CD.
Right.
Putting them into editing software, then processing them up so they sound nice, making them into files. But at the same time, I had Chrome browser running. Right, and I was looking at stuff, just, you know, news stories and emails and stuff like that. But every time I did that, the computer just froze and had to be crashed by hitting the power button. Now, it hasn't done that, so I don't know what's
happening. Sounds like you might need a bit more memory. Sounds like when it's working too hard, it's saying, I can't do it too much.
Well, maybe, but it was okay when I upgraded it from Windows 7, because it started having problems, to Windows 10, and then it ran like a rocket. Right. It's been running like a rocket since Christmas.
Yeah.
And it's just started doing that, and it's driving me nuts. I'll come up with a solution, I always do. But there must be something. Maybe there's just like a Windows download coming. Although, this is a weird time for them to be doing that, if they are. I don't know what it is, Hayley. You know more about these things than I do. I've only just started using WhatsApp.
I know.
And WhatsApp, very useful for messages like, shut up now, Hayley. this is Talk Radio, Hayley Hayes, and Howard Hughes. That's four H's, count them. 0344 499 1000 is our number. Stay here.
Late Night with Howard Hughes on Talk Radio.
We are not a music station, but we are rocking the nighttime. Talk Radio here, 0344 499 1000. If you want to ask me a question, shoot the breeze, or do whatever you want, we can do that now. We've got 40 minutes left. Get your call in now. You know you want to. Just got to hear this guy's voice. It's like silk.
I'm fading out of sight. My wheels are the only sound. Running at the speed of light, can't slow down. Out on the open road, racing to beat the night. No matter where I go.
Do you know what a tonic that is for me? Michael McDonald. I love that guy's voice. I went to see him in Hammer. I never go and see anybody.
Well, not
I went
now,
to
you
see
don't.
Him. Well, no, you can't, but I went to see him at the Hammersmith. I think they called it the Labatt's Apollo then. Do you remember that, Hales? They called it the Labatt's Apollo.
Yeah, I do.
just by the Hammersmith Flyover, and it's not a big venue.
And now it's Lyric Hammersmith, isn't it?
Jeez, yeah, it is. But he was amazing, absolutely amazing. He held that stage for hours with just a keyboard. He was sitting at a keyboard and that voice of his. And he got, you know, that song On My Own that he did with Patti LaBelle. She was on the other side of the country and they did the vocals together.
Oh, yeah.
You know, before we had connections like this, they recorded them separately, never saw each other. He had Jackie Graham, you know, British soul star Jackie Graham.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was fab. You know, want to see it? Sorry, love Michael McDonald. Follow him on Facebook. You won't be disappointed. Let's get to Hedy now, because we have a surprise and a treat coming. Hedy, it's been months since we've spoken. It was Christmas when we last had a chat. How are you?
I'm okay. If I've got a bit of a cough, it's not the the coronavirus. It's
you want to look after yourself.
It's the disinfectant they're using in this bathroom at the moment.
Oh. Are you in the toilet?
Really?
Yeah, I'm in the hospital.
Hayley!
Well, he just said he was in the bathroom.
Hedy, did you say you were in the hospital now?
The people in the ward are sleeping, so I didn't want to wake them up by singing. They wouldn't take kindly to that.
Hang on, let's get this clear. Are you in hospital now?
Yes.
Okay, are you able to tell us? You don't have to. Why you're in hospital?
He stuck a knife in me.
Oh, my God.
Hedy?
It's okay. He's trained for 8 years. He's got a surgery degree.
Oh,
okay. Well, no, you had a... So this was routine surgery?
No, it was something I've been putting off for years. My father, he never gave me a present, but he gave me a hiatus hernia.
Oh, my dad had one of them.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good.
Okay, but it's very fixable.
Yeah, you can die from it, but only about 3% do.
Well, I mean, if you leave it, then it can get nasty. But literally, yeah. Hayley, do you know what a hiatus hernia is?
I'm not sure. No,
okay,
tell me.
Well,
go on.
Well, I can tell. I'll tell you quickly, and Hedy will tell me whether
details.
I'm like.
Yep.
You know that when you eat stuff, when you eat food, then there's a little sort of valve that opens. I mean, it's after midnight, isn't it?
Yeah,
there's
a
valve that opens up, and the food goes into your stomach, and it's then digested.
Right.
Now, for most of us, that valve opens and closes in a sort of routine way. So when you put food down your gob and into your gullet, it goes down and your stomach opens and, you know, you don't even notice it.
Mm.
But with some people, the operation of that is disrupted and then the acid and stuff like that comes back up. I think that's it. Is that what that's what it is, isn't it, Hedy?
Are you sure you're not my surgeon? That was absolutely exactly what it is.
Well, you see, I'm a man of many
That's
talents.
That's your part-time job, isn't it, Howard?
It is a man of many, many talents, you see. I've studied many things and failed at all of them. But look, so it obviously went well.
I don't know yet. It feels like somebody's been Mike Tyson's been punching me in the stomach for about 5 minutes. But this is all very biological.
Well, listen, I thought they weren't doing any surgery like that now because of coronavirus.
It's very necessary, and it's the place I'm in doesn't have coronavirus people in it. It can't.
Okay.
It hasn't got the facilities.
How long have you been in for?
5 days. But they keep giving me these tablets which extend time, like Doctor Who.
And look, with coronavirus around and the hospitals doing such a fabulous job but under such a lot of pressure now, what's it like to be in hospital now?
Quiet. Very. Everybody's masked up, but they do have some limited protection. But I think the good stuff's probably gone to the people who are dealing with the serious cases.
You know, no, I'm just saying that, you know, obviously this is quite a time to be in hospital. And, you know, my thoughts are definitely with you. I mean, you're sounding very chipper.
I wasn't 2 or 3 days ago after the op, and hopefully I'm going to be out in about 3 or 4 days' time, and I'm going to just get locked down, absolute lockdown, just watch YouTube videos and listen to talk radio. That'll be it.
I'd no idea that you were in hospital. I'm delighted that it's, you know, they're dealing with you and it's okay. Hey, listen, have you really got some music for us then from hospital?
I've got a little in a moment. I've got to stay here. The signal seems to be really good, actually.
It's good.
I had a question for Hayley about long hair.
Right.
What is it about long hair? Do you like it on a man? Because my hair
no.
is that long.
No, oh. sorry, no. Mm-hmm. For me, it's quite a feminine thing. That might be generalistic, I don't know, but I just like long hair. It makes me feel protected, and I think it's similar to Howard with his scarf. I'm not being serious here. So Howard wears a scarf, even in the heat of the summer. He's got a scarf around his face, or your mouth at least. And you, Howard, you're honest, aren't you? It's a protection thing. It makes you feel safe. It makes you feel, you know.
I think, look, if we're being honest about it, I do, yeah. I feel you. I mean, we've never talked about that. I wear a scarf because I like the feel of it. It makes me feel safe for reasons that I don't understand. And sometimes, if I could get away with it, I would wear tinted glasses. One of my great heroes, Tommy Vance, disc jockey, great voice. He used to wear aviators. I think they were prescription aviators.
Because one day I turned up at the university with blue-tinted glasses and I acted in a completely different way. And people couldn't work out. It was like Alice Cooper. What he does, he puts a makeup on and he becomes Alice Cooper. He becomes a different person completely. And I put the magic blue spectacles on and I became a super scientist.
I never thought of this, Hayley. You know, we've all got our things. I think we've all got things that we do.
Well, it's just about like putting a blanket around your aura or something, isn't it? It's about putting that blanket around yourself and a little bit of self protection when, for whatever reason, you might be feeling a bit insecure and just needed a bit of a hug or something. I think.
I can't even tell you when I started wearing the scarves, though. And you know, there were people at radio stations 15 years ago who will remember me wearing a scarf in the studio.
Oh, well, you still do now. I mean, that's where I know you from. But anyway, the long hair, yes, it's a similar thing. It makes me feel me, basically. And I feel it just, yeah, I touch it a lot. And especially if I'm nervous or stressed, people can tell because I start playing with my hair, like start wrapping it around my finger and stuff. Okay, so it's a thing.
Spaghetti Western baddies with beards, with slight beards. Is that a thing for you?
Oh, no. I don't like hair anywhere else apart from the head. No, I'm deadly serious.
That's almost too much information, Hale.
Deadly serious.
You were talking about spaghetti Westerns before. You know, most of the actors, you said most of them didn't speak English in the early ones with Clint Eastwood.
No, they didn't. They were Italian actors, weren't they?
Italian, Spanish, and in one case the main woman was a German, so what they did is just dubbed, they all spoke their own language and then dubbed it over at the end. Plus, you recall the close-up wide-angle view on Clint, on his eyes, and it was seen as a really clever directorship. Yeah, well, that's because the director cut the film in half, horizontally, to 16mm so he could use twice as much. Because they only have 50.
I've never heard of anything like that.
They only had $15,000 to film, and it filmed in southern Spain, and that's the reason why he squints. He's got the Clint squint because the sunlight was so bright in his eyes.
I don't know. I'm a huge Clint Eastwood fan. I loved Gran Torino, but Dirty Harry. I can watch Dirty Harry all day and all night and play Misty, but Dirty Harry, where he says, "Go ahead. Make my day." That's the greatest. Hey, listen, we've got to move on to the music then. If you've got music to play, we want to hear it.
This is not an American Trilogy, which happens to be my favourite.
Oh, yes.
It's Elvis song. But it's more like an Accrington Melody. And it's an ode
Accrington Stanley.
Accrington Stanley. It's an ode to the Red Rose County. It's very, very short, so I won't keep you too long. Because we both love our county so much, along with Kyle and John from Blackpool, but I couldn't rhyme anything with Cleveland. Okay, here we go. Bit deep breath. Oh, I wish I was the ancient mills for cotton. Old Lancashire, you are not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away. Morecambe Bay, Corrie, Corrie, Howard Hughes, now, long, 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 Harry, Haley too, Leyland Lorries, Leyland Lorries, spooky stories, Howard Hughes, Blackpool to Ellesmere Port, Bootle to Manchester. Ladies and gentlemen, Elvis has left the building, but he's eaten all the black puddings.
I was afraid you were going to bust a gut then, quite literally. God, help us.
I think my stitching is coming done.
Hedy, you are a remarkable person. Now look after yourself and do me a favour. Don't do too much of the singing, will you?
No, I'll be...
Because you'll have Matron to deal with.
Matron. I wish you would.
Night-night. Night-night, Hedy.
Night-night. Take care of yourself.
Just when you thought you'd heard it all. I don't know what to make of that. What a wonderful person.
We
he's
have
in
a
hospital.
Very talented listenership, don't we?
No, I mean, he's had some very serious surgery. We're in the teeth of a medical crisis. And he's singing like Elvis. I think these are the things you have to do, don't you think?
Mm. Well, what, singing a loo?
No, I think you've just got to, you know, keep calm and carry on.
Yes, and sing Elvis in a toilet.
Yeah, if you wish. Why not? You know, whatever floats your boat, really. Shall we get to somebody else now? Let's get to Steve from Spalding in Lincolnshire. How are you, Steve?
Hello there, Howard. How are you?
I'm very good. In my isolation and my anonymity, I'm all right.
What a show tonight. Everything I've liked, everything you've done, you've talked about things I like, from Clint Eastwood to my cult film, which is Time Bandits. And then on to Michael McDonald, and George Harrison, something. That's a brilliant song.
Malcolm McDonald was a footballer, by the way.
Yeah, Michael McDonald, I meant to say, yeah.
He was very good in his day.
Yeah, it was, yeah. The one I liked of his was Sweet Freedom. Remember that one?
No, that's my absolute, that is my, my favourite song is Shanice, I Love Your Smile. Followed by Philadelphia Freedom and Sweet Freedom. So I think there's something psychological about me. The two of the songs that I love most in my life both have the word freedom in them.
Yeah. But it was one of those films. It was actually better than the film that it was supposed to be made for, wasn't it?
Was it Beverly Hills Cop?
No. It was a film called Running Scared with Billy Crystal.
Okay.
And it flopped completely. The only thing that
I thought Sweet
was the song.
Well, I thought Sweet Freedom was in a movie with Chevy Chase.
No.
Well, I must be wrong about that.
It was definitely Billy Crystal because it flopped completely, the film. And the only thing that did any good was Michael McDonald's song.
Do you know your music?
Oh, a little bit, yeah.
Okay, here's a quiz question. Question for you or for anybody who knows the answer if you don't. Chevy Chase actually mouthed the words of a song in the video for a song that was a hit in the 1980s for a very famous singer, songwriter. Chevy Chase was actually mouthing the words, miming, in a music video. Whose music video was it?
Paul Simon.
Yes, you've got it. You can call me Al.
Yeah. Yeah,
great
he was
song.
In that one, wasn't he? Yeah, he was there. Also. Yeah, and you can call me Betty.
Yeah, you can call me Betty.
Yeah.
Do you remember this one, Hales, or is this,
yes,
this another
I
one of the
that
ones
song.
That you missed?
Yeah, no, I'm definitely with you.
That was Paul Simon's Graceland album.
Do you remember that really obscure one in the 90s, I Met a Little Birdhouse in Your Soul?
Yes.
I've got a story about
that
it.
That was a really weird one, wasn't it?
It was,
oh,
it was
a lovely
by
song.
An outfit called They Might Be Giants. I wonder if we can find it. Because one of the nicest memories of my life, if you don't mind me indulging myself slightly, is to do with that song. I'd just come to London, and I was working on Independent Radio News, and I thought I'd died and gone to heaven. I loved it. I was reading the news across the nation. I was on all the stations, and I loved it. And we used to sit there, and we would monitor Radio 1 to hear what they were running in their news at 1:30. And we listened to their news at 1:30, and they played put Little Birdhouse in Your Soul by They Might Be Giants out of it. And these hardened news people, all of these hacks and broadcasters in Gough Square, which was the headquarters of the radio station at IRN, we all stood up and danced. It's a great tune. Have a listen. It's great, this.
I'm not actually your friend, but I am.
It's got to get going a bit.
You can hear me out by the light switch. Who watches over you? Make a little birdhouse in your soul. Not to put too fine a point on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul. I have a secret to tell from my electrical well. It's a simple message and I'm leaving out the whistles and bells.
Just such a great tune, though. Stephen, do you know who were they?
Completely, I don't know. I think they were American, weren't they? By the sound of it, I don't really know too much. I just remember that it's one of those songs you get in your head, don't you?
Well, you do. You know, if I had one image of myself that I would like to be remembered by when I turn up my toes, it's being on the independent radio news desk in Gough Square when I just arrived in London, and a bunch of these people who I'd looked up to and admired, who I was working with then, we're dancing. We forgot the news for 2 minutes, and we danced to that tune. It's one of the nicest memories of my life. Thank you for reminding me of it, Steve.
The lyrics just don't make any sense, do they? I'm your only friend, I'm not your only friend. Actually, I'm not your friend.
Well, you know what it's about, don't you? It's about a nightlight, isn't it? It's about a bedside nightlight.
Yes.
So there. And then you didn't call about this, did you?
No, but it's good to get onto some other things. That's fine.
What? Yeah. Anyway, since you're on and since we kept you waiting, as they say on the radio phone-ins, you know, proper professional radio phone-in hosts, they say, what would you like to say?
What have we got lined up for Sunday then, Howard? What are you planning for this week?
Have you heard of the Skoll experiments? No.
Oh, no, enlighten me. I might have, but I might not have heard it that way.
Okay, well, the Skoll experiments were in the 90s, and they were a bunch of experiments that were done to try and prove the existence of life after death. And they did things like they locked photographic film in sealed containers with a couple of mediums around, and the photographic film was brand new, so the packets were unopened, and lo and behold, all sorts of images. I don't want to give away the content. But all sorts of images imprinted themselves on the film. So that's after midnight. 11 o'clock hour, we're doing the Haunted Housewives in America again. So we'll do some of their hauntings. And then, of course, there's the news hour between 10 and 11 that we'll do, that we're still sorting out. And that's going to be the show on Sunday night. Right off the top of my head, are you impressed?
Yes, very much so, I can't wait to listen to that one.
Well, the last hour, the midnight hour, about the Skoll experiments and the guy called Robin Foy, F-O-Y, look him up. He was the guy behind those Skoll experiments. It's very controversial. A lot of it is about what they call physical mediumship. You know, that's people who say that they can actually produce spirits that appear in three dimensions. And one of the stories that Robin Foy tells and swears that it's true will blow your socks off. Like I say, it's controversial, and, you know, we always have to say we're offering the conversation for entertainment purposes and don't live your life by it. But it's, if it really happened, as you will hear on the show on Sunday night at midnight, it's amazing, Stephen. So that's your sneaky peeky.
Have you ever done a show on the, you know, when people look into mirrors and they, is it scrying?
Yeah. Isn't that something to do with Ouija boards as well? Because I'm not a big fan of Ouija boards.
No, I wouldn't touch that. I know scrying is when you can look with a candle or something, isn't it? And you see different figures or something.
Wasn't there a guy who had a hit with a song about scrying? Scrying over you. Oh, no, that was somebody else. Sorry about that.
That reminds me of Only Fools and Horses. Do you remember when he sings it?
Oh, yes.
Oh, God, yes.
Crying.
Oh, God. Get your coat trigger, we're leaving.
Only fools, they never die, do they?
No.
Well, they do. I mean, I can see that moment where he falls through the bar. And
yes,
I've seen it a million times, and I still laugh my socks off.
And the chandelier one as well.
Get your coat, Trig, we're leaving.
Yeah. And Gary. Gary was another one.
God.
Remember Gary?
Yeah.
Gary.
I used to like Goodnight Sweetheart.
Oh, yeah, I used to love that.
That wasn't bad, yeah.
Yeah.
They used to make that just round the corner from where I live. Huh. So I used to see that the shop that had the false back that he went, you know, back into the past, that was round here.
He's always been sort of like one of those people, those actors that have always been in a lot of things, but never really been a big, big thing, Nicholas Lyndhurst. Has he? He was in Butterflies years ago, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, I remember that one as well.
Love and, is just a butterfly.
And then he went into New Tricks or something, didn't he, more recently?
Yeah.
But he's never really been anything so like, you know, because, I mean, Del Boy David Jason was the main star of that, really, wasn't he?
It's just the way David Jason as Del Boy, the way he, you know, he has those coats that he wears, and he does that shuffle with his shoulders, you know. get your coat, Trig, we're leaving. That was just brilliant. But, the thing that did it for me, Batman and Robin.
Yeah,
with Councillor Murray.
And the brush
was in that episode, wasn't it? Where Trigger got an award for having a brush for 18 years or something.
Yeah.
And the Russian video recorders.
Yeah.
Yes, and the blow-up dolls.
God, we could talk about this all night. Hey, what happened to the Only Fools and Horses musical? Was that still on before?
It's, what's his name, did it, didn't he? Paul Whitehouse, didn't he?
Huh.
Yes, now he's good.
He does the grandfather and Uncle Albert. He does them both, I think.
Such a talented guy. Now, Hayley is telling me that I've got to move on, so...
No problem, that's fine.
It's all right. I name the names, Hayley Hayes. No, you're absolutely right. Stephen, listen, lovely to speak with you, and, you know, if I ever do this again, it'd be nice to speak again.
Look forward to Sunday. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, and thank you so much for reminding me of a wonderful moment in my life and a terrific song. 0344 499 1000 is our number. This is Talk Radio.
Late Night with Howard Hughes on Talk Radio.
You know, the best songs, don't you think, Hales, are the ones that mean something in your life. And that Junior, that's from the 70s, but it's been a hit a couple of times. But that tells a story that is true in my life. Maybe it's true in yours too. That when you're young, you're constantly wanting to be older. You don't like being young. You want to be grown up. You want to know what that's like. And then when you start getting older, you start wishing, like I do now, that you were younger. And that's life. And, you know, your poor mum is saying, and my mum said to me, just like in that song, you know, don't get ahead of yourself. Enjoy being 18 or whatever I was. And I just wanted to move on.
I half agree with you, but there are points in my life where I think, I wish I had the wisdom I know now, because I might have made different decisions or done things differently with the knowledge I have now, with the experience I've had now. I have mixed emotions on that one, if I'm honest.
Yeah, well, you know, what do they say? I had an American girlfriend years ago. She used to say, Howie. I'd never heard it before.
Howie.
She used to call me Howie.
Howie!
You know,
oh,
Chris Tarrant.
That's your name from now on. We're going to get your jingles changed. No, Howie
Chris,
Hughes.
Chris Tarrant called me
Love
Howie
it.
For years.
Really?
Chris Tarrant used to, for God's sake, Howie, why don't you do it better? She used to say, Howie, don't forget, hindsight is 20/20. And, you know, it's true. It's always good to look back on things and think, well, I could have done that better. Listen, if I go back through my life and I look at the mistakes that I made, and we're all the same, I suppose, but and I look at the garbage that I took from people that I should never have taken.
Yeah.
And but we can't have our time again. All you can do is the best, I think, you know, the way that you are now. God, this is deep, isn't it?
No, but I think it's an interesting discussion, though, because I think it's the sort of thing that sometimes you only get to think about and go into once you've got times like we're in at the moment, where we've all had the enforced kind of slow down, stop rushing around, and take some time out type thing, you know?
Well, you know, most... I'm not saying that any of this is good because it's tragic and it's heartbreaking for so many people. And, you know, there will be more stories like that. It's just, you know, you read them every day. You know, the guy from Little and Large, how sad that is. All of those stories and the nurse, you know, they make you want to cry. But also in those quiet times, you know, like now, when there isn't the hubbub that there normally is, like outside here, I never realized, I really didn't realize living in a suburb, that 24/7 there was always something. You could hear for miles, you could hear the rumble of the traffic and the delivery lorries and the planes doing the overnight cargo deliveries and all of those things that we're not getting. And then those, the trains that they run late at night, you know, running mail and stuff like that that pass here. You don't hear any of that. And all of that makes you sit and think. I've done so much thinking about how, when this is done, and I bet there are people hearing this now saying, I'm exactly the same, I'm sure. And they've got a plan. It's like an exit strategy.
Or you know, bucket
once
list.
We get through,
I think it's a bucket list, isn't it?
I don't know if it's a bucket list, because that's, you know, when you draw up before the end. But it's a sort of list for what you're going to do when this is done. You know, I had this idea about moving out of London. I had that a long time ago, so I lived here for years. And, you know, I did lots of great stuff in London. But I always loved the country. I was never happier than I lived in Malvern on the hills. I was very lucky. I rented a flat, first of all. Then I rented a little tiny house on a place called the Fruitlands Estate in Malvern that was so high that I could actually hear London FM radio in Worcestershire. It was so high up in the Malvern hills. And I never realized until now how much I love to get up early in the morning. If I was always doing breakfast. They always used to say, well, you know, you've got a voice. We'll put you on the breakfast news, or we'll give you the breakfast show to present, or whatever it might be. So I was always up at 4 o'clock. And I used to stand in Worcestershire, and I would look up at the stars, and you could see this great, colourful kaleidoscope of stars at 4 o'clock in the morning, 4:30. And I'd breathe the air. And I would just think to myself how lucky I was to be there. And I miss that. I do. God, why am I telling you this now?
I don't
Gee,
know.
Where's Harry?
But it's all good. I'm just going to say, we got a tweet in from Miss Just Lou. She says, normally when she tunes into us, we talk about food and we get her hungry. Because I don't know if you remember, a few times we've spoken about olives. And that was a big, huge discussion. And then, do you remember we did the tinned spam? Was it that you brought in? Was it spam or...?
Well, no, we had the spam challenge. I had 120 seconds to be able to... Because, you know, those spam cans, they're still the same. If you can get spam. I mean, can you get spam? Oh. Not spam, it was corned beef. Wasn't it corned beef? It was a can of corned beef. It was, anyway, what, they've got the same cans with that strip around them, and you've got to put the key in
and
roll it back. And I've never been any good at doing that. In fact, you know, a number of times doing that over my life, I've nearly had a terminal injury doing it. So we watched a video, didn't we, together, and we worked out a way to do it.
Yeah, and then you came in, didn't you?
Yeah, and then I came in with a can.
Yes.
And we actually did it on air, and I did it perfectly.
You did.
Much to my own surprise.
Without any injuries, too. Because they're quite
memories,
sharp,
memories,
the end of that. So we haven't spoken about food, although the only thing I can say is I had a massive pizza before I came out. And now I was just chatting to Amy during one of the breaks. And I don't know if you get this, Howard, but after a pizza, about 2 or 3 hours later, you get...
What, wind?
No. No!
Sorry.
No! Oh, you just ruined it. Like, seriously.
No, what happens after that? afterglow of a pizza.
Yeah, exactly. We'll forget what you just said. You get really thirsty, but I mean thirsty to the point of I feel like I could drink a gallon of water right now. But it's weird.
Because they put so much salt in.
Yeah, but it's weird how it only comes on 2 or 3 hours later. Because I had my dinner probably about 7 o'clock, and it was only around 11 o'clock that I started to think, gosh, I'm so thirsty. Isn't that strange?
Well, I find that, I have to say, if you get me on the subject of being thirsty, some of the supermarkets, apparently, I don't know what they're putting in, but I suspect it might be salt. But some of the cheap, it's my fault for buying the cheap bread, isn't it? But some of the supermarkets make bread, and you eat it, and you think, well, that's all right. Make it as a bit of toast late at night or whatever. And then in the middle of the night, you are dying with thirst. What is it? Somebody might know what they put in.
Yeah, yeah. But also, I like that, because then when you drink, when you are that thirsty, you appreciate that water so much, and it tastes amazing. Where normally water can be a little bit boring, and sometimes I forget to drink enough because I'm just like, oh, I don't want to drink water again. But
you know what that's called? Auto-suggestion. I'm so thirsty now.
Are you really?
Because I tend to drink coffee, and then I wee a lot.
See, you always just give too much away.
No, that happens.
But that's fine.
Hear that noise? That is a bottle of water.
Ah,
it's a rare commodity.
Oh, nice. Oh, it was corned beef. Somebody's just tweeted in to say it was corned beef with the key, not Spam.
No, it was Frey Bentos, I think, corned beef.
Yes.
See, somebody remembers.
Somebody remembers.
That.
Amazing. It must have been
one of the
amazing
of our
radio.
Christmas show,
I know.
But though, isn't it funny? You find that the smallest. Forget it. What you've taught me about doing all this stuff is that you can come in with a million great news stories from, you know, all the papers that you've read, ideas. And they're not the things that people want to talk about.
Well, they do sometimes, but I feel like the station is here all day, every day for all sorts of different things. And I feel like night times is the time to try and strip it back a bit and just talk
night
about
time is
our
the
life,
right time.
Your life,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and the nice thing about, I think, and you know, I don't want to take it back really to that breakfast show that I did for 10 years in London with Tarrant, but we used to talk about our lives, just about ordinary lives, and people would say, oh God, I get that too, and did you do that, and did you fall down the stairs like that, or whatever. It was just the ordinary small change, and because, you know, I was the poor relation,
oh.
You know, I used to talk about getting on my cheap bike and going off to whatever, or buying secondhand, whatever it might be. And it was part of the, you know, people would relate to that. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that is weird.
Don't you think?
Really weird. So what did you have for your dinner? Because I know you're going to have soup after the show, which is just weird, but we'll move on from that.
I'm actually rethinking the soup. I think I might just go without. I might just have the glass of whiskey and then just reflect on life, see if there's a good movie on somewhere. Catch a bit of Martin Kellner.
Oh, do you know what movie I watched the other day that I really enjoyed? The Martian. Have you seen that with Matt Damon?
Twice.
You've seen it twice. Oh, it was my first time the other day. I always seem to be 10 years behind everyone else when it comes to films.
Do you know why it's a great movie, though? Because a lot of the science, not all of it, I think it was David Whitehouse, the former BBC science editor who I have on The Unexplained, we talked about that. I think they got some things wrong. But some of the aspects of what it's like to live on Mars were exactly right on.
Yeah.
We're exactly on the money.
Just somebody recommended it because while we're in isolation, it's kind of, there's quite a lot of similarities, isn't there, about being stuck somewhere or feeling like you're stuck somewhere. Slightly
people,
out of control.
Like we said at the beginning of all of this, people react differently. So there are some people who just cannot bear human company, you know, human contact for any, you know, a length of time. And there are some people who, like you and me, you know, I'm not really fussed. It's fine. I don't want it to be 5 months, but you know, I can cope.
I can probably,
as long as I've got my equipment.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I could probably cope a little bit more. I'd say for another couple of weeks, I'd be quite comfortable because I still feel like I've got a lot more podcasts and books. But I've got all excited now because I've kind of got my little structure together. Right, I want to finish this book. I want to watch that film. And I almost feel like if the lockdown was over tomorrow, I'd be like, damn it, I was meant to watch that film and read that book. Mm. You know, it was like, now, it was like being a holiday being cancelled.
I was formulating a bit of a plan here. And I was thinking just at this time of an appropriate record to play at the end of all of this. And I'm going to do it when you say I can. But I just thought it would be a nice way to go out of these shows. Since, you know, we're not going to be on next week and probably the week after. And we're in the middle of all of this and we're thinking about our lives and stuff. I was going to do that. But you tell me whether we're good to go with that.
Yeah,
I know
we'll
we're
do.
Producing
let's
on it.
Let's have a chat to Martin, shall we, and find out what's coming up on his show after one.
If he's around.
Yes, he
are
is.
Are you there, Martin?
Yeah. I'm here, yeah, Wakefield, live from Wakefield.
Live from Wakefield, wow. How is it?
Yeah. I'll be.
Well, it's
here
like
in
Wakefield,
the shadow of
really.
Emily Moore. In the shadow of the Emily Moore TV transmitter.
I'll tell you what, I wish I had that transmitter here with me. What I've got is a piece of wire, I'm on a wing and a prayer, really. A piece of wire stuck into the side of the computer, and I've got about a mile and a half of Ethernet cable, which I've shoved into the back of the hub.
You had any technical... I've had a few technical issues to deal with doing this, but I think I'm touch wood more or less sorted. Have you had any problems with it?
Not too bad, actually. Where are you? Are you at home or?
Yeah, I'm in the suburbs. I'm in the burbs down here.
You're in the burbs, are you? Yeah. Well, no, I've had a few issues with the delay on the line. In that it doesn't sound too bad now, actually. But earlier today, I found that it was almost impossible to have a sort of relaxed chat with people because they couldn't hear you. So, there was a delay of a second or a second and a half. But it sounds okay now, actually.
If we were doing this in 10 years, and please God we're not having to do this in 10 years, but you know, it'll be just to imagine how much better it will be. So what's on your show then tonight, Martin? Nice to speak to you, by the way.
Well, as always, we link up with our good friend Ian Camfield, who's a broadcaster in Dallas. He's a big name over there. He's a big fan of Donald Trump. Whether he's still a fan of Donald Trump or not, we'll find out. We're talking about Altrincham, just over the Pennines from here, which was Altrincham. You know that part of the world, don't you?
Very well, by the back of my hand.
I thought you did, because it was a bit of a ghost town, you know, like everywhere else. All the shops are closing down, boarded up and everything. And it's now been voted by some survey or other the best town in Britain in which to live. So, well done, Altrincham. Yeah, UK's best place to live is a ghost town raised from the dead. And we'll find out what they did. Because we'll all have to raise ourselves, you know, after all this is finished, the amount of businesses and small shops and everything that goes out of business, we'll have to raise ourselves from the dead.
But hairdressers are going to go brilliantly, aren't they? I mean, everyone is going to be...
Well, everyone needs to have the haircut.
Exactly.
Yeah, definitely.
And my nails done and everything.
Yeah, me too.
Martin, looking forward to hearing you after 1 o'clock. Thank you very much.
No worries. No worries. I'm
lovely to speak with you. See, we're all around the world.
Too.
You're 60 miles away. Now, I had a plan for the end of the show. We're only going to be able to hear a few seconds of it, but at least the sentiment was there. Hayley, thank you for helping me through all of this.
Pleasure.
Amy, thank you. My name is Howard Hughes. One day I will be back, but I'll definitely be back for the unexplained. The sentiment is what counts. Let's have a couple of seconds of this to close. Thank you.